Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday. It is July 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Governor Tom Wolf's administration moved Wednesday to expand its indoor mask order to public places outdoors where social distancing is impossible. Since April, Wolf's administration had a standing order that businesses must require employees and customers to wear masks. Under the new order, a mask or face covering must be worn whenever anyone leaves their home and where it is consistently impossible to remain 6 feet away, from other people. The sooner we can all get to the point where all 13 million Pennsylvanians recognize that when we say we wear masks, that's one way we're going to reduce the risk of infecting other people, Wolf said at a news conference Wednesday, just before his administration announced it was expanding the mask order. Statewide, 636 new cases surpassed 87,000 for the total, while 38 new deaths pushed the state's total to 6,697, health officials said. Wolf's broader mask order boosts Pennsylvania into the ranks of 13 other states, according to information from the National Governors Association, as more states move aggressively to adopt such a requirement. The expansion comes as Americans are dealing with surging cases of COVID-19 and confusion over best practices in public, especially with masks. It also comes amid alarm from officials in Philadelphia and Allegheny County about rising numbers in their daily case reports. In a statement, Wolf said the mask-wearing order is essential to stopping the recent increase of COVID-19 cases in Pennsylvania hotspots that can be traced to situations where Pennsylvanians were not wearing masks or social distancing. In Philadelphia, city officials on Tuesday halted plans to allow indoor dining, bars, gyms, and fitness centers to reopen, with officials saying its new case increases of over 100 each day are too many. Officials in Philadelphia and New Jersey have also issued a travel advisory stating anyone traveling to and from states with coronavirus cases skyrocketing should self-quarantine for 14 days. Former Philadelphia Sixers dance team captain is apologizing for an offensive rant from 2016 that's now gone viral. Former team captain Ann Weiss can be heard making racially charged comments, inappropriate remarks about a fellow dancer, Yanné Coleman's hygiene, and threatens her physical violence. And I think that we have the clip of this over there.
Yeah, here we go.
Hi, Yanné. I'm in the back of a stretch limo right now with all my bitches. I hope you're having fun in the back of your mom's minivan with your six head taking selfies of your jiggly ass boots. When you get your license, give me a call and I'll teach you how to shave your legs. Then I will teach you how to use a tampon because your dirty ass vagina probably smells like fish. All right? Bye-bye. I will find you in whatever home project you live in. I will slum it to the west side of Philly just to find your ass, beat the shit out of it, and then get you blacklisted from whatever club you think you can get into. All right? Bye.
That was in January.
Oops.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Subtle message there.
Yeah. You know, and I watched this yesterday and I was talking to Matt Cord about it and we were going back and forth. I'm like, but where did this video come from? Because it is an older video, but yeah.
Did she send it to her or?
How did she get it? How did Coleman get it? I guess she must have
subject
sent it to
was,
her.
Right. It had to be. It was sent to the subject, right?
It sounds like she's directing it
to her.
So she got it and she probably released it.
Yeah,
she's probably been sitting on it for years.
Yeah. So Coleman, who left the squad in 2015, says she was initially scared to release this because she was bullied and racially targeted by the former teammates and the dance team's coaching staff.
Oof.
Her story was later shared by R&B star Trey Songz. Coleman says that she sent the same video to the Sixers organization crying out for help so many times and nothing was done.
Wow.
The Sixers say that Weiss left the squad in 2013. A spokesman for the team says it's now investigating and takes the situation very seriously and remains committed to fostering a culture of inclusion and equality. Weiss also apologized to Coleman on social media, saying she was deeply ashamed for the disrespectful and inexcusable video she recorded.
Yeah.
Well, and that R&B star, he posted, I guess she had, Weiss had DM'd him and said, hey, take that down. And then said something along the lines of, I put that up there because Coleman threatened my husband and kids. And the R&B star was like, look at the excuses they come up with, you know, when they're exposed. And he posted their exchange. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. And a shame that's out there. Neighbors in Philadelphia's Logan section said they are growing increasingly frustrated with people setting off fireworks at all hours of the night.
Well, this should be a respite this weekend.
Yes, seriously. Just hang on for this weekend.
Yeah.
In a video that's going viral online, a group of people can be seen throwing fireworks at each other at the intersection of 15 and Duncannon Avenue last Thursday. Residents say it happens every night and the neighborhood just can't get sleep at night.
It looked like a bottle rocket.
Yeah, it was a bottle rocket and Roman candle war.
Yeah.
It's what we used to do. But
you can't do that.
You don't. Now, they're hiding behind cars and they're shooting them at each other. We would do it like in an open
field
or.
Yes, where people maybe are not trying to sleep.
Or, you know, somewhere that was not hitting houses and stuff like that.
Or the model home during a live broadcast.
I was just going to say, didn't we do this?
We did.
It was a more rural area.
We had permission.
We had permission, too.
It was. We were far out there. Like, we were like Gilbertsville.
Yeah. That's exactly where you go to do this stuff. Yeah.
The city of Philadelphia fire code bans the use of consumer fireworks within 150 feet of occupied properties. The fire code also prohibits people from setting off fireworks on public or private land without permission. In Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, it is legal to use ground-based fireworks, firecrackers, Roman candles, bottle rockets, and other consumer fireworks.
Right. By the way, and in the video, you see cars driving by and stuff. That's the difference between how we were doing it.
It looks
and
like
how
Fallujah.
This is being done. This is urban warfare is what it looks like.
You'd be scared crapless if you turned down and saw this.
Yep.
According to data from the city of Philadelphia, the use of Roman candles sent about 400 people to the emergency room in 2018 with injuries most common to the hands, fingers, legs, eyes, head, and face. While residents say at least one person was arrested as a result of the fireworks fight incident, Philadelphia police have not confirmed that yet. In sports this morning...
Ball sacks are yummy.
The NFL has shortened its 2020 season to only 2 games, and the league officially canceled weeks 1 and 4 of its original preseason schedule. The August 8th Hall of Fame game is also canceled. Most players are expected to report to training camp on July 28th. But
hang on a second. You said 2 games. Did you mean 12?
Preseason.
Okay.
Yes.
What the
Most players are expected to report to training camp on July 28th, but the first preseason games won't be played until late August. Each team will play one home game and one game on the road, with the traveling team departing on the day before the game. The consensus between the NFL and the NFL Players Association is that players will need more time than normal to get into football shape this summer. Brett Brown reported no Sixers tested positive for coronavirus, and no players have opted out of going to Orlando. Joel Embiid has been working out 6 days a week, and Brown expects him to be in his best shape. And as teams prepare to depart for Florida in the next week, entering into the Orlando bubble environment, Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard expressed serious doubt that all the protocols and rules will be strictly followed by players. Lillard said with a laugh that he doesn't have much confidence that they'll have 22 teams full of players following all of the rules. He went on to say, even when players have 100% freedom, they still don't follow the rules. But he's hopeful that it will be handled to a point where they're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous situation. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much. There's nothing on here. There's nothing on here. What the f***? Where's that sound coming from? I was a little angry when that happened.
There are moments we have pure rage caught on audio for the rest of time.
Of course, of course. Nothing is getting me mad today. It's a Thursday morning, holiday weekend. We are actually off tomorrow. So
goddamn,
that was Steve raging. But
I know when I was listening to the intro, I'm like, why didn't they play the Friday song?
I thought the same thing.
It's
Thursday.
Because it's Thursday.
Friday to us. And maybe you too. Hopefully you have a company holiday tomorrow. I do not know. That means we will give away a Word of the Week prize today. So at the end of the program, we have a chance to win a 2-night getaway at one of 3 gorgeous Icona Resorts properties in Avalon, Cape May, or Diamond Beach. So make sure that you are aware of that and are with us for the entirety of the program, because we would love for you to win that prize. We have a couple of guests on the show. In light of the fireworks in the streets, the story that Kathy just had, we have Robbie of Celebration Fireworks on the program. And he's going to shoot off a couple of fireworks for us this morning.
Very nice.
Like the big ones.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
He's going to shoot off some mortars for us this morning.
It won't be at an intersection in the city.
And we're not doing it until 10 a.m. Yeah. So we made sure it was going to be late in the program. So we'll do that just to get ready for the weekend of the 4th. And we're going to talk to Rob McElhenney as well.
Yes.
CORA, the organization that is near and dearest to his heart, charity organization, which we've helped support their golf outings and so on through the years. They are in dire need of assistance. So Rob is putting the push behind it, and we'll check in with him and see what we can all do to help out. And also we'll just see what's up in his world.
Yes.
Entertainment wise and how he's doing and all that good stuff. Cause it's always great to talk to Rob. So we have that taking place, and we'll see what else we get into. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We'll do the stupid question, the entertainment report, all these things that we normally do. We have for you when we get back. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The stupid question this morning, the prize is a digital download of Shameless, the complete 10th season, and our question has to do with actress Kerry Washington. She played Jamie Foxx's wife in 2 movies.
Yeah.
Name them. 215-263-WMMR. Okay. Actress Kerry Washington played Jamie Foxx's wife in which 2 films? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your answer. Today is Thursday, July 2nd. It's Lindsay Lohan's birthday today.
Oh, my God.
Lindsay is 34 years old. And I remember when she turned 18, because we saw her as she was going to be like the next big thing.
Yes.
And at that time, Mean Girls came out when she was 18. She was well on her way.
Yes.
And
we savored that. We saw the movie. The movie, which was, by the way, is still incredibly funny. Enjoyed it, and then everything took a dramatic turn south.
It did.
I don't know what the hell. If you see her now, she looks like she's 60.
Yeah, I guess she got caught up in some substances, and of course she's got a messed up family that does not help.
Exactly. Yeah, and the example was never good at home.
But you know where she really shows her acting chops is in Freaky Friday?
Yeah.
Because she takes on the role of the mom. You know, they switch personalities. Yeah. And she pulled it off. She was really great in it. And
she's also, besides the substance abuse, chain smoking, all that stuff, and just there's a little bit of her dad's looniness in her.
Yeah, she's 34 today. Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, co-creator of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Just a comedic genius and obviously the improv stuff that he's been come to known as.
He is amazing. Been come to known as a great improviser. I've been watching episodes of the series Fridays. Do you remember that, Preston?
Oh, with Michael Richards?
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday? The sketch comedy show?
Well, Larry David and a lot of those people were on that show.
I don't remember him. Wow.
And Larry David at that time had a huge, puffy sort of curly hair, a kind of a fro-like thing.
Yeah.
It was wild. Looks nothing like himself now.
Yeah, Nick, I see him in the background in this picture. Wow.
Yeah, and I think
you're right.
That's where he met Michael Richards.
Yeah, exactly, Nick.
Kramer on Seinfeld. Yeah, Preston, you're not into Curb that much, are you?
I didn't really get caught up in it, no.
It might be something you might want to revisit at some point. It's quirky, and it's an acquired taste, but once you get into it, you really fall in love with it.
It's a lot better than Fridays, by the way.
Yes. He's 73. Jerry Hall, Mick Jagger's ex-wife and model and sometimes actress, is 64.
She was in Batman. That's all you need to know.
Polly Holiday, who played Flo on Alice, Kiss My Grits.
Yeah.
She's 83 years old today.
Those grits are down on the floor at this point.
Yeah, they are. Imelda Marcos.
Wow.
The shoe-loving widow of deposed Philippines leader Ferdinand Marcos is 91. She had like, wasn't it like 2,000 yeah. pairs of shoes in her closet? Some ridiculous amount. Yeah, right, Kath?
It shows you that uncaring tyrants can have a food for life.
So she's 91. Richard Petty, the auto racing legend.
Yeah.
83 years old today.
Is he Mr. the King?
He is Mr. the King.
Okay. Yeah. In cars.
Yeah.
Okay. The voice of Mr. the King?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that was just an absolute, he won everything. He's 83 today. Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, I like her.
I do too. Yeah. The High School Musical, Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. And I think, did she voice on Phineas and Ferb? Yeah, yeah, she was Candace. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And in High School Musical, Sharpay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was her name. She's cute. I like her. She's 35 today. Margot Robbie.
Oh, there you go.
Celebrating her birthday today. She's 30 years old. And she's fantastic. She's not only stunningly beautiful, as you do know, but she's a great actress, too, man. And
Harley Quinn.
Time in Hollywood, too.
Yeah. Oh, she's so good in
excellent.
That. In a role that's sort of... the thing I like that they did in that film is that she's playing Sharon Tate. When she goes to see herself in a movie,
yeah.
they're using actual footage of Sharon Tate.
Yeah, so, I like that, too.
And that adds another fantastical element to it. That's such a great movie.
Yep. So she turns 30 today. So happy birthday to everybody who's celebrating birthdays today. All right, to the phones we go. For an answer to this question, actress Kerry Washington played Jamie Foxx's wife in which two films? 215-263-WMMR. And it is Adam that we're going to go to. Hey, Adam, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Adam, what were the two movies that Kerry Washington played wife of Jamie Foxx?
Was it Django Unchained and Ray?
You are correct, sir. Well done. Hang on, Adam. We'll set you up with a digital download of Shameless, the complete 10th season, which is available now. I just watched Django Unchained again recently. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Everybody's good in it. All right, so Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith, I have a follow-up to yesterday's story.
All right.
Have both released statements denying August Alsina's claims that he had a romantic relationship with Jada for years and Will was fine with it. So they're saying no dice. According to TMZ, Jada's rep says the claims are absolutely not true. Jada's team also denied August's claims that Will gave him his blessing for the relationship. We had a lengthy discussion about this yesterday.
Right, that apparently he had actually sat down with him and Will Smith said, yeah, go for it.
Oh, man, does that mean we have to rescind our entire break from you?
No.
We can never play it again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Will's rep told the UK Sun that the allegations are wrong.
That's a legal term.
Jada Pinkett Smith is 48. August Alsina is 27, by the way, so big age difference. But back in 2013, Jada had addressed rumors of an open marriage, saying, Will and I both can do whatever we want because we trust each other to do so. This does not mean we have an open relationship. This means we have a grown one.
Whatever.
Then in 2018, Jada and Will spoke on the rumors on Red Table Talk with Jada saying, we've never been swingers. That's a very specific lifestyle. They revealed that after having some marital issues, they decided to, quote, throw away the concept of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
With Will saying they don't even call themselves married anymore. Jada said it's a life partnership. That sure. we know is for this lifetime. What do you mean?
You're building the framework. Of course, it's an open relationship. They just don't want to refer to it as
right,
that.
Right.
So that, and I get it. Whatever you want to do. When they're saying swingers, are they talking about actual swing sets? Is what they're denying? Are they a seesaw couple?
I guess they're just not in the presence of one another when they're banging somebody else.
Right.
Which I think that is
fine.
That
it's
is
fine.
Technically swingers.
To me, that's the equivalent of conscious uncoupling. Whatever you want to refer to it as.
It's an odd dance though, because if you're going to hint around it and it's this open secret that everybody knows about anyway, why not just be like confirming it? And I mean, I don't know. I'm curious as to why they have to issue statements like this and then go on a denial path.
Do you think they think that it in any way impacts? I mean, there'd be no impact. Well, I mean, this has sort of been the most open.
Maybe they don't like the public secret. Aspect of it and they want to keep it private and they're public figures. So I get that. But it's an odd denial to have to make.
Or maybe they're just having fun watching people talk about it.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, those bastards.
Well, how old
they
are
got
their,
us.
How old are their kids? I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Like, no, they're older.
They're older now. Yeah.
Willow sits at the freaking table while she talks about the Red Table Talks. She's
was
part
there
of the show. Oh, yeah.
I think you know, as a society, we're becoming a little bit more open to all of this stuff, right?
To everything of Jada Pinkett Smith.
You know, the words that they use, they're being a little bit more pragmatic about it. And that might not be the right word, but
Exculpatory?
No, but I think people tend to, you know, tune out when they hear certain words. So it's like, okay, listen, maybe this isn't your thing. You know, maybe when you go to church on Sunday, they're telling you that what we're doing is bad. But, you know, the way we approach our marriage and our life, it's this. And, you know, you don't have to agree with it, but it is what it is. And so they use words like conscious uncoupling to
taciturn.
Fromage.
Mm-hmm.
God, yeah. I love for that cheese. Word.
So who knows, but they're denying this and whatever.
And we're talking about it.
Now we're going to talk about Justice League, Snyder Cut on HBO Max. Ben Affleck may be returning as Batman.
Yes!
The latest outlet to share this news is The Cultured Nerd, also called TCN. TCN reports that their sources have informed them that Affleck was actually already gone and signed a new contract with Warner Brothers to reprise his role as Bruce Wayne in several Zack Snyder-produced projects, likely due to end up on the streaming service. They noted that three other outlets have shared the same information, and TCN offers that Affleck's supposed new deal could result in anything from cameos, a miniseries, or a fully fledged feature film.
So I saw this floating around, and it was from a couple of different sources yesterday. It was the goal of Affleck to write and direct his own standalone Batman film. But in interviews after all of this, and when he left the projects, he said he feared that if he did that, his alcoholism would rage out of control.
No
and
kidding.
That he needed to take the break.
It'd just
said
be
it
too much on him.
Totally predicated on it would, you know, he knew he would have gone down a bad path. But now that he seems to be good, you know, I'd love to see him continue in that role.
The Cultured Nerd previously shared that they believe Affleck's original version of the Batman that was scrapped when he left the part and Matt Reeves took over could actually be made now. Yeah, I like him too.
He's excellent. But Matt Reeves, I can't wait to see what he does with Rob Pattinson. I mean, that's another great director. I think a great choice for a younger Batman. The more Batmans, the merrier.
Well, and I understand your point. Do you think, though, it dilutes the Matt Reeves version at all by having this floated out with Zack Snyder?
No, I think it'll parse out fairly nicely. But if you stop and think about it, Nick, you potentially have Ben Affleck as Batman, you have Rob Pattinson as Batman, and Michael Keaton as Batman all at the same time.
So more than 250,000 people are trying to prevent Paris Jackson from playing Jesus in a movie. I know. The Change.org petition was launched a week ago in a bid to stop distribution of Habit. That's what it's called. Also starring Bella Thorne and Gavin Rossdale. Habit follows, quote, a street smart party girl with a Jesus fetish who gets mixed up in a violent drug deal and finds a possible way out by masquerading as a nun.
So, what?
I don't know.
What?
Listen, anytime you float into the Jesus realm, even with movies like Last Temptation of Christ or even The Passion of the Christ, there's always controversy that surrounds it.
Here's a bit of advice. No one would ever have known about this movie if it had been just released
as
it is. No one would give a rat's ass. When you start doing all this stuff, you raise its profile. It's kind of counterintuitive.
And by the way, it's a movie.
Yeah.
The petition,
it's Paris Jackson.
The petition dubs it blasphemous and Christianophobic garbage. Thorne, who responded on his Instagram stories, wrote, "Because Jesus is a woman. Wow, wow, wow." The petition comes amid the release of Jackson's Facebook Watch docuseries called Unfiltered Paris Jackson and Gabriel Glenn.
So
250,000 people have chimed in. While many accusers celebrated a $19 million settlement for victims of Harvey Weinstein, some of his accusers say that it falls short. The fund would be distributed between the dozens of women who accused the convicted rapist of sexual abuse. The agreement still needs to be approved by bankruptcy and district courts. Weinstein is currently serving 23 years in prison for rape. Attorney General Letitia James said, after all the harassment, threats, and discrimination, these survivors are finally receiving some semblance of justice. Women who were forced to sign confidentiality agreements will also be freed from those clauses and finally be able to speak. But lawyers representing six of the accusers called the proposed settlement a complete sellout. Douglas H. Wigdor and Kevin Mincer, who represent six accusers, said the proposed settlement is a complete sellout of the Weinstein survivors, and we are surprised that the attorney general could somehow boast about a proposal that fails on so many different levels. While we do not begrudge any survivor who truly wants to participate in this deal, as we understand the proposed agreement, it is deeply unfair for many reasons. So the accusers will claim between $7,500 and $750,000. So when you break it down like that,
yeah,
it doesn't really seem
that
much. Tom Hanks is not here for people who are not wearing masks. As many will recall, he and his wife, Rita Wilson, were among the first celebs to reveal that they had tested positive for COVID-19.
That's right. They were in Australia, right?
Yep. Correct, yeah. And since then, they've been outspoken advocates of prevention and treatment. And once again, Tom just has a way of putting things in nice, simple terms. He's just, he does it. At a press conference promoting his upcoming film, Greyhound, he said, there's really only three things we can do in order to get to tomorrow. Wear a mask, social distance, wash our hands. And he continues, those things are so simple, so easy. If anybody cannot find it in themselves to practice those three very basic things, I just think shame on you. And then he says, don't be a pussy.
Really?
He did. He says, don't be a pussy. Get on with it. Do your part. It's very basic. If you're driving a car, you don't go too fast. You use your turn signal and you avoid hitting pedestrians. My Lord, it's common sense.
Now,
there you go.
I know he's part of a pedestrian hitting club, Preston, so that's a little hypocritical.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of being released in theaters as planned, Greyhound will hit Apple Plus instead on July 10th.
Have you been seeing the trailers for that?
No.
It's where he's the World War II captain on a battleship, a destroyer.
Oh, thank God, because I honestly, I thought he was a bus driver.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's based loosely on a true story.
Okay.
It looks really good. He wrote the script for it.
Cool.
Wow, this is what this is?
Yeah, you didn't know that Greyhound also has battleships as well as bus.
World War II?
Yeah, World War II.
All right, I'm on board. This could have gone to music news, but I'm going to put this here. Mickey Madden, who is a bassist with Maroon 5, was arrested on charges of domestic violence.
What?
Yeah. Los Angeles police confirmed the arrest, with Madden posting bail of $50,000, and the identity of the alleged victim has not been revealed. A spokesperson for Maroon 5 said, we are deeply devastated by this disappointing news. As we learn more, we are looking at this very seriously, and for now, we are all allowing all of the individuals involved the space to work things through. Madden was also arrested in 2016 after allegedly passing a vial of cocaine to a man in a New York bar, which he denied. The charges were eventually dismissed, and Madden was given a day of community service. He's not commented on this new arrest. He is one of the founding members of Maroon 5 and played in an earlier incarnation called Kara's Flowers, initially a trio with singer Adam Levine and multi-instrumentalist Jesse Carmichael. The group added members, changed the name, and released her debut album as Maroon 5 in 2002, and then, of course, it took off after that.
I think he's super talented. I really can't stand most of the Maroon 5 stuff, but I don't know about this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Comedy Central announced on Wednesday that its reimagined version of Beavis and Butthead will be coming to the network.
I was watching some old clips of the show, Preston. It was a funny show.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
The new version of the show, which originally aired from 93 to 97, will present the two teenage couch potatoes as Gen X parents raising their Gen Z children. So they've grown up.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't even imagine that.
No, that will be interesting. Creator Mike Judge returns as writer, producer, and voice actor for the series' two leads.
Steve, in your opinion, would you, because I think the Beavis and Butthead impersonators in everyday life were probably the most annoying.
Incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
Right up there with Monty Python impersonators.
Yeah.
Or, for a time, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
I'd go with Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But one of our absolute favorite Borat as well. That's at you, Matt Robine, if you're listening.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
We all know Matt Robine.
I love him.
He's just the best. But, maybe he stores those impressions in his eyebrows. I don't know.
Hey, where do you keep your impressions?
In my eyebrows.
In my left eyebrow.
One of my absolute favorite clips we play is a Beavis and Butthead clip. Look, he's got a boner.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I guess. Okay. Well, see that, but that's not an impression, so we'll allow it.
But it's
right?
A clip. Yeah,
yeah, it is a clip.
But I mean, so
got
there's
a boner.
Again, please.
Okay.
Look, he's got a boner.
But like, I need TP for my bunghole.
He just doesn't get old. What's that now?
The TP for my bunghole. Like, I hated that when people would say that.
I'm Cornholio.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, that got old. That definitely got old. As for Judge, he only had this to say. It seems like the time was right to get stupid again. That's his comment.
Yeah, I agree.
Comedy Central has ordered two seasons of the reimagined series, And, of course, it follows Judge's extensive work on other television shows and movies, including King of the Hill, Office Space, and Silicon Valley.
It's a perfect example of something that I immediately hated and then actually spent time with it and then, like, well, this is actually really good.
Mm-hmm. Elle Fanning sat down with E.T. to discuss her new role as Catherine II, the longest reigning empress of Russia, on Hulu's The Great. She said she starts out as this romantic and very optimistic young girl and basically is slapped in the face with reality and realizes, okay, this is not the life I wanted, so I'm going to make the life that I want. She also copped to the fast and loose historical interpretation, saying historians probably don't like us very much the way that we tell it. I did a bit of research, but to be honest, that wasn't where my attention mainly was. I learned that the real Catherine the Great invented the roller coaster. And I was like, okay, she's a fun person.
Yeah, and the Tsar at the time invented the Gravitron.
Wow. Catherine the Great invented the roller coaster?
Yeah, of course. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
And I don't believe it. But, you know, it may be true to some extent.
Yeah. Well, Woodrow Wilson invented the whack-a-mole.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. All carnival stuff. That's really amazing. Odd.
Every great figure throughout history has some sort of carnival ride or attraction associated
Who
with
did them. The clown balloon squirt gun in the mouth thing? It had to have been somebody
Thomas
famous.
Cromwell.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I mean, so essentially the person who invented the roller coaster, wouldn't that be the person who invented, like, the train, right? Because that's essentially what a roller coaster
Were the original was. Trains no. going up and down?
No, but
no,
I
no,
mean,
no, 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 it wouldn't be. Roller no? coasters run on gravity.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They just take you to the top, and then the rest is all free. The roller coaster has to move on its own power.
Yeah, I mean
there are parts
thing,
in the middle
yeah.
of somewhere. It'll get yeah. on a track and take you back up the hill. But
I once still you, think it had to do with roller coaster.
Once you,
thank you.
A train is not a roller coaster. I'm okay. sorry, Casey.
Man. It'd be hard to do a cross-country train ride if that was the case.
Yes. Or it'd be a lot more fun.
This set, all right, it's just a headline. I'm trying to find the actual information, but it says Catherine the Great puts rollers on the first on the world's first coaster.
Okay.
So what did the people just sit in the car stationary? Because there had to be some, right? If there were no rollers on it,
right.
What were they doing?
What were they doing before?
Whee!
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You can't say you invented bumper cars if you just invented something that
well,
sat still.
Right. Unless it was more of a sled type of thing where you didn't have, you know what I mean? Where
I invented the automobile. More exactly, I invented the cup holder.
Yeah. Anyway, so Elle Fanning says
she added wheels to the tracks.
Okay.
To make a summer version at her palace in 1784.
A summer version. So before that, maybe it was on snow or something like that.
Jesus invented the funhouse mirror.
And there you go. Seems like someone I would like to be friends with. She said, "We're moving on now." Jennifer Garner.
Look how it makes you look.
Look, it looks like I have 12 apostles.
You only had six initially.
Only had six.
Jennifer Garner reached out to a fan who told on social media that she finally got, quote, the courage to tell my husband to leave after years of emotional abuse, but that she never feels like she'll find happiness or security. And Garner wrote, "Your heart sounds heavy, and I'm so sorry. Hopefully you have powerful women in your corner reminding you of your strength and your worth. Hopefully you were able to calm your mind and heart with prayer, meditation, exercise, art." No, this is happy.
Oh, it is.
Laughter will calm.
Salisbury Hill.
And really, it is worth fighting for. Until then, all my love, she said. So she's reaching out to her and trying
she's
to
awesome.
Her, giving her a leg up. She is.
I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner and her pool boy, Ben Affleck, for incorporating them into my fantasy life. I apologize to anyone who's been offended by my fictional creations, Chris Agon, the philosopher of evil, and the skull sealer.
He invented the teeter totter.
He did.
Yeah.
So he had a good side.
He had a good side, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is kind of the perfect woman. She's yeah. just she's a good-hearted individual from what we've seen. Sources have told people that Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson are giving their relationship another try.
According to give it another try.
According to sources.
I'm not arguing.
The source said, Tristan is working hard to prove himself and has been a great dad to True.
They've been photographed frequently together, seemingly having a good time, so mate perhaps. And he seems very stable and loyal.
And a second source said that the two acted like they were back together at her birthday party last month.
Look at this picture up on the screen here in the studio, Preston. It looks like a one happy... Listen, if they did and they got back and it was good, that'd be great.
Right after this picture, she goes, here, take the kid. Yeah, you know, get away from me.
Yeah, and then he hopped in the car with a tub girl.
Mm-hmm. After a bidding war, Apple managed to nab Emancipation, an action film set to star Will Smith and be directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, he's good.
The film follows Peter, a runaway slave, evading hunters in the swamps of Louisiana on his journey north. There were reportedly seven bidders, and the Apple group committed $105 million to it. So they are getting that title. Actors Rami Malek and Maisie Williams, and performers Willow Smith and Troy Sivan, I'm not sure, and Chinese singer Jackson Wang have signed on to star in Cartier's new Pasha de Carter watch campaign.
Oh.
So, yeah, they're getting an endorsement with Cartier, which is cool. Huh. Prices start.
I use watches to tell time. I put it on my wrist, you see? Cartier.
Prices start. Started $5,700 for the timepiece.
Okay. Oh, man. Wow.
I wonder how I'd get in on that. I'm going to call Cartier. I'm going to see if I can get in on that.
I'm happy for Maisie Williams because after I loved her on Game of Thrones, and I wasn't sure if she was going to be able to continue on. And
I think,
you know,
she will. I like her.
Kind of like Nick, some of the actors from the Harry Potter franchise. You're like, they're great in Harry Potter, but are they going to be able to do anything after that?
Yeah, you root for them because you think that they're probably pretty decent people, and they're definitely great actors in that series, but then they can become pigeonholed.
Did you watch Servant?
No, but you've been talking about Rupert Grint and how great he is.
He's so good. He's really good.
That makes me happy.
So, that's cool. They're getting those endorsement deals. And
Rami Malek's in that Bond movie that they keep
pushed
postponing.
It back again. Yeah. I just looked it up. Yeah, No Time to Die, Steve, is now pushed back to November.
No 2096.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
This is sad news. Prior to his suicide, producer Steve Bing reportedly wrote notes to each of his two children.
Oh,
he shares Damien Hurley with Elizabeth Hurley and Kira Kerkorian, who is 21 with tennis pro Lisa Bonder. They cited mutual friends who shared the news. Bing jumped to his death last Monday from LA high rise.
I heard it was like 55 stories.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. But he wrote notes to them. So, you know, he didn't just leave.
You know
without some final word.
You know, we've talked to people. We talked to a guy who survived the Golden Gate Bridge, a jump. For the people left behind, it doesn't comfort them. You know, it just creates more questions. It's horrifying.
Yep. All right, then one last story. Sigourney Weaver is frequently cited as a queer icon for her work in Alien, Working Girl, and Ghostbusters. I don't know why those particular titles, but Alien I could probably
because
see.
Ripley was, you know.
Yeah, strong female character. And
Working Girl, I don't get. She was a bitchy boss.
She was, yeah. And Ghostbusters...
She was just sort of the femme fatale.
But anyhow, she tells E.T. that she's proudest of her work in Lifetime's Prayers for Bobby. She said, this is one of the one I'm most grateful that I got to do because I hope that it will be such a support to these young kids. She told E.T. by phone, by the way, my heart goes... my heart goes...
I got a good connection.
She was phoning him at home.
Yeah, I built my own phone.
My heart goes out to all of them. I think they're probably there.
What? I can't hear you.
So I think there probably is nothing.
Sigourney, are you there? Sigourney?
So I think there probably.
Sigourney, can you see me?
Is nothing more difficult than.
You're off camera. Sigourney?
Not being able to express who you are and all the questions you have about that in a safe space. The film follows her character, Mary Griffith, as she attempts to, quote, save her gay son, Bobby.
I can see your lips moving, but I can't hear you.
And then her pursuit of LGBTQ objectives after his suicide.
Is this a new movie?
Heavy topic. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. It's no. No, it came out in 2014.
Is it or isn't it?
Okay.
Is
Sorry, I thought it was new. All right, gotcha.
Is Sigourney her real name? Because that's such a...
Gorsini.
What is it?
Gorsini.
Oh, Gorsini. And she changed it to Sigourney.
Okay.
She was born Susan Alexandra Weaver.
No way. Yep. So she changed it to Sigourney.
Yes.
Sigourney.
For her favorite sandwich.
She is
what a Sigourney with cheese.
She's the only one I've ever really heard that name.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard that name before, being aware of the actress Sigourney.
Except for the president.
Sigourney?
Yeah.
President Sigourney?
Sigourney Madison.
Yeah. Okay.
She's filming all four Avatar sequels right now. So there's Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, and they're all going to come out.
She died in the first movie.
So did Stephen Lang, and he's back. You what? Know? Yes.
Okay.
So there, I guess there's...
They're doubling back?
Well, and also, you know, you plop somebody down on the ground there on Pandora, and the Mother Earth there, or Mother Pandora, can bring you back to life.
Those little flying jellyfish things. Yeah.
They've been talking about them forever, though. When is it coming?
Freaking jellyfish.
When is it coming out?
2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. Right, well,
freaking Pandora, go. Kathy, flying rocks.
Wow.
That's, put Charlie Sheen in that. That'd be so cool.
No,
if just for no reason. He's just sort of in the background, sort of a secondary, third, you know, very tertiary character in the back, just commenting on things. Look at the freaking rocks are floating, man.
Yeah.
Freaking warlock. Freaking badass.
Why are you here?
I don't know.
Because he flew in on a Mercury surfboard.
Yeah, Mercury surfboard. I thought he was flying to Portland.
No.
Freaking Portland.
Sigourney means the conqueror, and she took the name from a character in The Great Gatsby.
His avatar should be 14 feet tall with, like, a gold tooth and, like, and a cigarette and sort of wizened, you know.
Yeah.
I freaking look like myself.
Yeah. All right, we're ready for clips.
Well, yay. Well, yay.
And then I hit this, but I don't even know what this is. That would
have been George Lopez performs at the Warfield Theater in San Francisco, and his new special will do it for half. And in this clip, George discusses being in awe of all the artists who have performed at the historic theater. Here we go.
I did it last December, I think the 14th of December, and the Warfield, you know, looking at Nirvana in there, Jerry Garcia's dressing room is the main dressing room, looking at Janis Joplin, looking at Jimi Hendrix, looking at Jerry Garcia... Yeah, the Grateful Dead and all the signatures you see on the wall there.
I don't give a f-.
He's a big rock fan. We talked to him last time, Preston. You remember he was going off about the different artists he's into.
Yeah.
And real hardcore stuff.
We'll do it for half is now streaming on Netflix. Here's the next clip. Contestants tackle a series of hilarious tasks that they are told to not do in order to win a cash prize in Don't. And in this clip, host Adam Scott discusses being pitched the idea to host the comedic game show. Here we go.
They explained it to me and sort of kind of breaking it down, and that Ryan Reynolds was involved, but then also that it was like self-aware and sort of making fun of game shows while legitimately being a game show. Had like a narrator, which is weird. There would be like comedy writers involved to help. And so all of these things made it sound unusual and interesting and fun.
I watched a little bit of it, and it's pretty funny. They do some outrageous stuff on
they
it.
They do, like, big rolling balls behind people.
Yeah, and I remember there was one, these people were just swinging back and forth all over the studio from the ceiling, and, Adam Scott's great, man.
He is great. Him. Do you know, virtually every night on primetime television, there's virtually nothing I want to watch on the major networks. I mean, until it gets later. Like, it's like a no man's thing, because there's a lot of... you know, kind of fluff that's and talent shows. I hope, you know, more stuff, obviously, after the pandemic relaxes and they can produce some more stuff that we get some better stuff to watch. But I think it's just not on my radar anymore.
By the way, Don't airs tonight at 9, and that is on ABC. And that is my report for you this morning.
Well done.
In the realm of entertainment. We're going to take a break. Rob McElhenney will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour, so make sure you stick around for that. And we give away our Word of the Week prize today, because tomorrow is a company holiday. So we will have your chance to win that at the end of today's show. We'll be back in a moment.
Now that we're actually leaving the house more often, WMMR reminds you, you're going to have to put on some clothes.
People! Ah!
And if you gotta get dressed, why not step up your wardrobe game with the coolest threads from the MMR Rock Shop? There's tons of new and throwback MMR designs to choose from that you can't get anywhere else. Look, you can't go out there naked, okay? Seriously, no. So shop the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. All the merch that rocks. And don't forget your pants.
So we're giving away our Word of the Week prize today because tomorrow's a company holiday. We will be off, and that means I had better clean out the junk drawer today, or else we're going to miss some of these interesting short subjects here. So let me dig in.
Tidbits.
See what I can find here. Okay, so when you have to be careful what you say to people these days, and there is a Twitter user named Marissa Lingen who has an interesting solution to this. So when remarking on colleagues' outfits,
yes,
so you're at work and you want to compliment something someone is wearing, you kind of have to be careful because you don't know how somebody might take that.
Like you can't say, man, your turd cutter looks great in that.
Probably not a good idea. HR would frown on that. But she suggests using the word snazzy.
I've used snazzy.
When remarking on your colleague's outfit.
That's so dumb.
And then he said he could see my snazzy.
Or, as she explains, use language like your great aunt would use.
Yeah.
What about sharp?
I think sharp would be good.
That's a good one.
Sharp
is
pretty neutral.
Okay.
It's not sexual in intention. It just means that you look good today.
Yeah, okay. But you're excluding the blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, she said that she writes, snazzy shirt work, friend. Hey, those are some snazzy earrings you've got on,
neighbor.
Yeah, but you
know what?
Who said this? Because I hate her.
It sounds like a dig. It actually sounds like you're making fun of what I'm wearing.
No, it just sounds very old. No.
That's the point. It sounds antiquated.
I know, but it sounds stupid.
She says, see how you sound like someone's great aunt? Perfect. You're not limited to using the word snazzy, but great aunt language is a good rule to go by as it's cheerful, positive, and inherently inoffensive. Twitter user Michael Davenport also chimed in with some good advice. He writes, I like complimenting matches. Example, neat. Your headband matches your earrings.
Why can't you just say, I like your outfit? I like your headband.
They're just giving you another option.
It's a slippery slope sometimes. So
I like your headband. That's not slippery.
What if you say?
If you want to get more specific than I like that.
Right.
You want to say that looks and then use some kind of an adjective.
I know. I'm just saying, like for me, if somebody were to compliment me, if they said snazzy, I'd probably punch them. No, I'm just kidding. But if somebody just said, I like your pants, I'd go, okay, thank you.
All right.
Well, this is just... Just giving you some options here.
I'm just saying.
The reaction...
Just don't compliment Kathy.
Yeah.
I do like a compliment. You don't... Well, that's a different topic.
What?
I'm like not great with compliments. If someone compliments me, like sometimes... It almost is like, not embarrassing, but like I almost forget to say thank you because you just brought attention to me.
And you're so used to it.
No, stop it.
And it's
I know exactly what you're saying. You almost, I understand the embarrassment. I do understand that.
Really?
I get them so seldom that I'm actually thrilled when it happens. But to that point, it's like I understand that awkwardness.
And
not
from you guys, like not from like close people. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, nice pokies.
I'm okay with that. But maybe if it was like, I don't know, if it was somebody else, or you know when it happens a lot, like if you walk into a room, like a group, and you know, and you just get there and you're like a little flustered, you're saying hi to everybody, and then somebody compliments you and you're like, oh, hi. And like, you know, I almost, sometimes I go back and I'm like, did I say thank you to that
compliment?
I hear
that.
I don't know if I did.
You get flustered. Yeah, I hear that. Absolutely. It happens.
I'm kind of programmed to automatically say thank you. So
to other people's compliments?
Well, no, if somebody compliments me, I'll go, oh, thanks. You know, I mean, like that's the first thing that'll come out of my mouth. And I say, I got this on sale. And then I go into the details.
And then you do this, Preston, where you move your hands down your hips. I always say thank you for other people's compliments. You look great today. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, of course, that's going to be your immediate reaction. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes if it's you're a little flustered in the situation, I think back and I'm like, did I say thank you? I don't know.
I've said, I passed somebody in the hall today yesterday, I should say, and I complimented her outfit because it was just very, I said it was very summery looking, and that was it.
That's good
okay,
one,
right?
Too. Yes, that's completely okay. It's better than saying you look snazzy.
Yeah. That's a humdinger of a getup.
Yes, yeah, totally. Exactly. Yeah.
23 Skidoo.
Mm-hmm. I like humdinger.
Yeah,
that's a good.
Come on, give me some skin.
That's a real humdinger.
Look at the walking sticks on you, Toots.
Boy, you're looking fit and fiddle today.
Wait, and it's also...
Hot spit, you're looking snazzy.
It's also how you say it. Like, if you would have been like, oh, that's summery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, that looks summery. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I,
you're
what? And the recipient was complimented. Okay. As well they should have been.
I'm sorry. Who is this idiot and why are we listening to them?
Because it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, but who
Twitter
are
Twitter user Marissa Lingen.
Oh, Marissa. She's an expert.
She's an expert. She has a Twitter account.
Yeah. They don't just give those away.
All right. So, all right. Hey.
Man.
Look what you did. Look what you did, Casey.
Really snazzy.
Do you know how hard it is to get subject matter for this show?
You made me crumple
that up.
I didn't make you
do anything. You owe him an apology.
No. Listen.
How dare you? He's all day. Like, I'm running out of stories, Steve. I'm running out of stories. I'm failing the show. And Preston, everything you pull up, it's good. Man, we're going to support you on air. Don't worry. Even if it seems like it's paper thin, we're going to support you on air. And here you go.
No, 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 no. We got a lot out of that. That was a snazzy topic right
Thank
there.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
What's your next snazzy topic?
Let's find out.
Oh, ways to chew gum.
You guys making fun of me?
No! That's Casey is making fun of you.
I made fun of Marissa. Listen, I'm not shooting the messenger. All right?
You're pushing him off
I'm
a cliff.
I'm shooting that dumb bimbo.
We're just not a fan of Marissa.
I chose to present that story, so I feel hurt.
No!
Oh, you shouldn't.
How do you feel now?
There will be legal betting allowed on the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest for the first time this year.
So there have been, you talked about revisions that they've made to the presentation, right? There's going to be no audience.
Right.
And they're going to have some other things that they're going to do. Hey, if another betting opportunity. Why
I don't
not?
Know, man. Get a hobby.
Yeah.
Really? Like, if you're looking forward to betting on Nathan's hot dog.
You know how people are just like, they're going out of their minds looking for, the people who really enjoy betting. They're going to look for anything.
Exactly.
They need something to bet on.
Hey, like, no one would have bet on Preston receiving the trouncing he got for that last story until someone piped up.
Well, look what Nick's doing to this story.
Yeah, I think this one's stupid, too.
Well, I do have a good question, Preston. This is a great topic right here, Preston. When they had that Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning thing.
Right.
Were you able to legally bet on that?
I don't know. I would guess that you would.
Because,
you
Preston.
You can bet on everything like that.
I know, but here's the deal, man. They often said, no, it's a gimme, and they didn't have to sink the putt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Was it match play? Because if it's match play, you can concede.
They did a few different. So they played 18 holes.
Formats.
And they did a few different formats. I don't know if it was like half and half or if they did like, you know, three different rounds.
Yeah, like a Ryder Cup format. I don't know, Case.
Okay.
Who knows?
So you can
bet on the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest now. Gaming officials in New Jersey, New Hampshire, and Colorado have approved betting on the event, which takes place every year on July 4th. The favorite is Joey Chestnut in the men's because he's won 12 times. And six-time champion Mickey Sudo is the favored choice on the women's event. The contest is going to air on ESPN noon on Saturday.
I think Caesar's Palace in Vegas used to have the biggest... you would walk into a room, Preston, and there were just monitors from around the world of every sporting event, every possible thing to bet, and people were betting on every freaking thing. It was sort of impressive. I'm not a big gambler, and in fact, I'm not at all a gambler, but I was blown away by that
Steve,
action.
You go in there now, and people are eating hot dogs, throwing darts.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much it.
That's all they're doing.
On the big screens now.
I walked in, Preston, and there was a big monitor where the bet was, is Steve going to walk into this room?
They will bet on
anything. Yeah.
Anything at all. All right, what else? This is pretty wild. I did not know this existed, but Delaware was the last state to stop tying people to whipping posts and lashing their bare backs as criminal punishment.
What?
So recently that witnessing a beating is still a memory for some people.
Wow.
On Wednesday, less than 50 years after the state writ its laws of the punishment, the whipping post displayed on public property in Georgetown, Delaware for decades will be pulled from the ground and will be put in a warehouse somewhere. So there's actually a whipping post.
When was it last used? Do they know?
It was 50 years ago that the state laws got rid of that punishment.
And what got you a whipping
It could be crimes ranging from petty theft to rape.
Wow.
And as young as 10 years old, people got whipped. Yeah. Steve, to answer your question, the last time they actually used it was 1952, so not that long ago.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So they would do it as a public display of punishment, which is, that's really old school, and that was the deterrent for people to commit crimes, is they would punish them in public.
It's like putting people in the stockade.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you know, whipping or whatever.
Or giving them tax-free shopping.
And they have those on display. Like, if you go down to Williamsburg, right outside of the jail or whatever that they have there, they have those stockades.
Sure.
And it's, I don't know if it's the original one.
I don't think
one.
They're the original ones. I think they put up, you know, as an example of what
found out
to be
was a lot of that stuff. And I was pretty disappointed when I went there because I thought it was all like actual old colonial Williamsburg. And it's just stuff that was actually built there.
They've also suspended the practice of publicly making fun of someone for story selection, Preston.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
Dating all the way back to 2020.
So
the last victim was Preston Elliott.
State officials say that the 8-foot-tall concrete post standing beside the historic Sussex County Courthouse will be removed in recognition of the violence and racial discrimination that it displays, that its display signified to many Delawareans. So they're pulling that up. It was,
is it Delawareans or Delawarezoids?
Delawareans.
Okay.
The post was first used to bind people for beatings at what is now the Sussex Correctional Institution.
That's wild. So I didn't realize they had something like that still up there.
They're gotten rid of the whipping post.
Wow. What about where they have hung people in the past? Do they still, I mean,
I don't know of any gallows anywhere.
Is that what they're called, gallows?
Yeah. Okay.
They do have, if you go to some areas, if you go to, I think Salem had it for a while, like dunking stools when they were giving that old witch test.
Yeah,
if you survive,
I don't know if they have those original ones, but they like Colonial Williamsburg.
Hey, she drowned. She's not a witch.
They've reconstructed those. There were some brutal things. Yeah.
Torches, we talked about them. The thing about stacking rocks on people.
They'd put a board on your chest. You would be bound and lay down, put a board on your chest, and one at a time they'd put these rocks on and ask you to confess, and eventually, it would crush you to death.
Yeah.
It would weigh so much, it would slowly crush you or suffocate you. It's horrible. Ugh. Just some sick stuff. Sick.
I'm the executioner. We're either going to crush you or we're going to thick ourselves on you.
Matt Cowper, executioner.
Yeah, with the big mask on and everything.
All right, what else we got? A very large international team of researchers has identified the origin of the domesticated chicken. In their paper published in the journal Cell Research, the group outlines the extensive genetic study they conducted.
And ladies and gentlemen of culture, are here today for some great news.
And what they've learned.
We've discovered the origins of the domestic chicken.
Yes.
That's what we've discovered.
Gene Simmons,
donuts and coffee in the back.
The international spokesperson for Chitco, the
international chicken research firm.
Domestic research chicken. Okay. Yes. Until now, the origin of the domesticated chicken has remained up for debate, though most in the field have suspected that it got its start somewhere in China, somewhere around 7,500.
Chicken, a Chinese chicken?
BCE. And involved one or more subspecies of red jungle fowl.
Oh, man, those jungle chickens are brutal.
In recent times, researchers claim to have found evidence of the birds originating in northern China and the Indus Valley. The researchers with this new effort contradict that finding, reporting evidence of the origin in southwestern parts of China, northern Thailand, and Myanmar. In either event, once the bird was domesticated, all agree it was transported and bred on every continent except Antarctica.
Frozen chicken.
Yes.
You can't do it. The eggs just stay in their buttholes because they get all puckered up.
Understanding chickens is important.
Of course it is.
It's
the mystery of the universe right there.
They not only represent the most populous bird, they outnumbered other species by a very large number. They are the most popular bird in the world.
And so the largest, they're so popular. But so the most chickens represent the most birds in the world.
Yes.
That is a mind blower.
But they also represent the single largest source of animal protein in the human diet. So they are extremely important.
They're just amazing
to humans. Yes, they are.
They're,
goddamn amazing.
They have also played a major role in the human migration story.
Right. So many people rode chickens across the Great Plains in hopes of a better life. Chicken-drawn wagons.
What a majestic animal.
They keep going in circles.
The new study involved
collecting
and sequencing 863 genomes in all.
I'm a genome.
You are Gene Gnome Simmons. Of that total, 787 involved whole genome sequencing, 162 of which were from domesticated chickens. Also, 142 of the specimens came from birds representing all of the subspecies of red jungle fowl.
You know people have chickens, right?
Yeah, I do.
And I know a number of people, and everyone present today, everyone says that I know that who raises chickens says they, despite what they originally thought, they sort of have personalities.
Yeah. Yes. They're great. Pets isn't the right word, but,
yeah.
but animals that you keep around the house. But my friend Danielle raises them, and man, every time we go there, we get fresh eggs.
And
they're pretty
and the
owners to look
love
at.
Them, and they all have their names. We talked to Jane Seymour has like 50 of them.
A lot of work though.
They kill pests.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they're really great for termite control and that type of thing.
So, and what's the chicken poop good for? People use that stuff, right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Fertilizer? Someone was pulling your leg. I just had a chicken turd kebab.
Not eating it, but it's a topical application.
The researchers were able to use the resulting data to piece together the place where chickens were first domesticated, which were southwestern parts of China, northern Thailand, and Myanmar. And they also found that the birds that eventually became the modern domesticated chicken were originally a red jungle fowl species called Gallus spadiceus.
Gallus spadiceus.
That should be your next album title.
It's a concept album.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the world of the domestic chicken.
The egg, instead of the wall.
Which
the
came
egg.
First, the chicken or the egg, or me?
Gallus spadiceus.
Gallus spadiceus. It's like a spell at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Look, a chicken.
The data also showed that after the bird...
Mr. Potter, create a chicken.
Gallus spadaceus.
Spadaceus.
The data also showed that after the birds were carried off to other parts of Asia, they were bred with other red jungle fowl and also other jungle fowl species. The researchers also found that domestic chickens... diverged from Gallus spadaceus between 9,500 and 3,300 years ago, which was much later than the time when first domestication began.
Do you remember that footage that surfaced of the, I guess it was a rooster? Was it a rooster or a hen? Super large, I think it was on a Russian farm, unless I'm missing my guess or misremembering.
Oh, I don't know.
The thing was just tremendous. It came out of the coop.
No.
Do you remember it had like the feathers and everything?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember this footage?
No.
Look up giant chicken.
Here it is, Preston.
Okay.
There's the footage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
I have a boner.
Yeah, it's really big.
All right,
yeah.
Well, I need to see this up against something else to kind of give me...
Perspective,
yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Put it up against Andre the Giant.
Because if I were to ask you how tall you thought Foghorn Leghorn was, how tall would you say he is?
Well, I happen to have his license right here.
Because he's probably
5 feet.
About 5 feet tall,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's just freaking 5 feet.
Oh, boy. The way your mind works.
He's 6'4".
No, he isn't.
Yeah.
Foghorn Leghorn's 6'4".
He weighs 315 pounds, and turns out he's a male.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
His ethnicity, chicken.
It's almost like it's an animated cartoon.
What's that? What is your source?
Google.com.
Oh, okay.
Are they saying the actual, like, a mascot costume or the actual vision of Foghorn Leghorn in the cartoons?
I'm going to
say 6'4" monster.
Do we want to go down this road?
Well, I guess here's the deal. They probably measured him against some of the human Warner Brothers characters, like Elmer Fudd.
Or drawn like barns and doors and things of that nature
that
he was going in and out of. That's probably what they referenced.
To give it perspective.
I mean,
so,
that's, yeah.
He's tall.
Then how did the what was the thing that was always trying to eat him?
The chicken hawk.
Yeah. He was tiny comparison.
He was itty bitty.
He beat the F out of him all the time.
Well, he did have those battles with the dog, too. They'd smack each other on the ass and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. I still love when he'd come, he'd pull him out by the tail, yeah. Take the 2x4 and whack him on the ass, and then run to the end of the rope.
He'd have a rope line. Yeah. He'd stand on the other side of.
He might be the most underrated Looney Tunes character, Foghorn Leghorn.
Well, he has one of my favorite lines where his feathers get blown. Is it him who has the line? I keep them numbered for just
such an occasion.
Yes.
Fortunately, I keep them numbered for just such an occasion.
His feathers get blown off.
Right. And the yes, that's the female.
Yes.
The
female
who loves
what's
him,
her
yeah.
name? Henrietta. Henrietta Hen.
So. Yeah,
I think so.
She always had designs on him, and he was always that boy is about as sharp as a bowling ball.
Yeah. That boy is about as sharp as a bag of wet mice. let's see, was it Miss Prissy? That's Miss what Prissy. It was. It wasn't Henrietta Hen. Where the hell did I get that?
I don't know,
I think that's something, too.
I think her name is Annabelle.
I think that is a different, no, I just made up Henrietta Hen.
It was a good name, though. I was on board.
It's a book.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where this conversation took us.
But Miss Prissy.
Anyway, origins of the chicken, interesting. And I did not realize it was the most populous bird on Earth.
According to that, yeah. Okay, let's see what else we got here in the junk drawer. I can stick with animals here for a little bit if you want.
Animals.
The American Kennel Club yesterday recognized its 196th dog breed.
196 dog breeds.
It is the Belgian Lacanois.
What?
The shaggy livestock guarding breed is now eligible to compete in many dog shows, including the prestigious Westminster Kennel Club show. Hmm. The Lacanois has been documented since at least the 1800s in Belgium, but they've just recognized it as an official breed.
So we're looking at it. It has, to me, it kind of looks like a very fluffy German Shepherd.
Yeah, agreed. That's a pretty dog.
And it has the Belgian waffle indentations on it.
Tough to butter.
I can't butter my dog. It's a lovely breed.
There's not much difference between a Belgian Shepherd and a German Shepherd, right? Like they're pretty similar as far as dog breeds go.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think they use more and more because for a long time they were using German Shepherds as police dogs, but I think they use Belgian Shepherds a lot more for some training purpose.
Malamutes, but
Chihuahuas?
No,
Malinois. Man.
Well, my friend's a canine officer, and I think he has a Belgian Malinois.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
smart dogs. Very smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Very trainable.
A lot of times they let them drive.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a bad
idea.
That's
got to be a nice. No.
That's unbelievable. Great. If you've been on like a back-to-back shifts.
Yeah, they do 12 on, 12 off.
Yeah.
No, if you've ever. Can you take this? If you've ever driven behind them, they drive with 2 feet at the same time, so the brake light is always on. If you've never
that's
noticed
annoying.
That.
That's
so annoying.
Give them a break. It's a freaking dog.
Freaking dog. All right, so that's a new breed. All right, what else we got? We're moving on. Why? Do you have something to add?
Well, I like dog stuff, and
that's all that I had. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it takes a long time for those for the kennel clubs to recognize official breeds, and I remember because there was a bit of a controversy. Golden Retrievers didn't get recognized officially, but they were really popular as dog breeds for a really long time. But you couldn't enter a Golden Retriever
because it wasn't officially
because it wasn't recognized.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and now it's won those dog shows quite a few times. Anyway, that's all I have.
All right, here's another story. A few minutes of looking into a deep red light could have a dramatic effect on preventing eyesight decline as we age, according to a new study published this week in the journals of gerontology.
Like a red light bulb or like one of those red lasers at the supermarket?
Not the laser, but a red flashlight.
Oh.
So if the results are replicated in future studies and approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the light could augur a new era in which millions of people have access to the easy home-based therapy. And it would be like brushing your teeth. It's like just a little ritual that you would do every day. It doesn't take a lot of time.
Brushing your eyes.
It would give them a new layer of protection against the natural aging process. It'd steal our eye sensitivity to light and ability to distinguish colors. Now, I don't know if it would help in your, blurry vision and things like that, but it can help in sensitivity of light and distinguishing colors. The lead author, Glenn Jeffrey, said you don't need to use it for very long to start getting a strong result.
That's wild.
the science works, Jeffrey said, because the light stimulates the health of the mitochondria, which are like batteries in our cells.
Huh.
And because mitochondria are implicated in a broad range of disease, insights like these could help lead to new treatments for diseases including Parkinson's and diabetes. Now, it's way, way early to take a leap to that.
It's still very cool.
But it's a small pilot study, so there's a ways to go. Researchers recruited 12 men and 12 women whose ages range from 28 to 72. Each participant was given a small handheld flashlight that emitted a red light with a wavelength of 670 nanometers. That wavelength is toward the long end of the visible spectrum and just short of an infrared wavelength, which tends to be invisible to the human eye. They spent 3 minutes each day looking into the light over a period of 2 weeks, and the lights work on both the cones and rods in the eyes. There was a 14% improvement in the ability to see colors or cone color contrast sensitivity for the entire 2 dozen participants. So everybody had improvement.
So your ability to discern colors would be increased.
I guess so.
Interesting.
It was most significant in the study participants over age 40. And for those ages, cone color contrast sensitivity rose by 20%.
That's a good band name, cone color contrast.
I like it. Over the course of the study.
Huh.
So
I like hearing that. I like advances like this.
Yes.
We're learning about chickens and eyeballs.
I wonder if any of these things would ever be applicable to Nick Murphy, who is colorblind. You know, if he'd be able to see some things eventually with treatments like this.
If there's a question to pose to Nick Murphy. Thumbs up or thumbs down. If you had the ability to have your color blindness reversed, would you do it?
Thumbs up. He's saying thumbs up. Yeah. I'm waiting for, because I have hearing issues, I'm waiting for them to have some kind of breakthrough on that stuff.
They're all around, the tinnitus, right?
Tinnitus and hearing loss, because I've lost some frequencies that I can't, you know, like my daughter's watching TV last night, and I'm like, can you hear that? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know what they're saying.
Have you looked into getting a hearing aid?
Yeah, they said I should.
Oh, they said you should.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I should get hearing aids, but I don't feel like I'm. I'm too young to have.
But you know what? They're different now.
I told Preston at dinner last Tuesday. We were sitting there at the table, and I told him that Lloyd died, and he said, "Did he have insurance?" And I said, "Perhaps you should get hearing aids."
I know it's kind of a weird thing, right?
I know.
At this age,
And I don't know what I'm looking at, but I think there are some now that are not those huge thing that like drapes over your ear.
The tech is virtually invisible now.
Absolutely.
So then.
Number one, they're super duper expensive. Number two, they're easy to lose. It's just another thing I will have to remember to do and get into.
We'll tape them in.
Get into the habit of using. And oh my god, I jumped in the pool and I left my hearing aids in. Damn it, I forgot to take. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. However,
I
think
Preston Elliott for lifetime hearing aids. And let me tell you a story about my pool and something that went terribly wrong. I dove in the other day and electrocuted 9 people.
But I think the second you put them in and you can hear the TV or hear your daughter say something, you're going to go, oh, okay.
But there's a commercial where the guy, the dad's working on something in the garage, and the guy says, "I love you, Dad. What did you say?"
Yeah.
"I love you, Dad. What did you say?" And then he gets the hearing aids and he says, "What did you say?" "I heard it the first time." Because I got the goddamn hearing aids. Yeah.
You're really selling them with that old man voice.
It's really good. It's wonderful to have it.
My father-in-law, he actually had a cochlear implant put in. He was an engineer in the Air Force, so he was running jet engines all the time. Destroyed his hearing. So the government paid for a full-on cochlear implant, which it's six figures to get that done. It's very expensive. And so what they had to do, though, is they had to, before you get the implant, they have to remove your ability to hear.
Oh, no, no.
So you can only hear through it, the cochlear implant.
Wow.
That's what he was told. So,
I thought you were going to say they had to go in through the ass.
They do that, too. No, but so they actually put a magnetic plate inside your skull.
Really?
And he sticks this thing on the outside of his head. It's
like a microphone?
Magnetically holds there.
Yeah.
It makes a connection to the circuitry inside. And he can now hear, but still,
what's the hearing like? If you asked him,
still can't hear a damn thing, man.
Yeah,
you have to repeat yourself and talk like this when you're speaking to him.
Wait, so why?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe Butch is doing something wrong. I don't know, but yeah, it's like that.
Everybody sounds like Bill Cosby.
By the way, this text message says, "Preston's hearing aids are going to look pretty snazzy."
Seriously.
Well, a lot of musicians, you know, end up using them because obviously for the same reason.
My dad got them, and they're Bluetooth capable. So he, when he can, you know, talk on his iPhone, he can hear better. It's really amazing how much better his life is now that he's had his.
Yeah, I believe it.
Right. Well, maybe you can borrow his.
Yeah, I'll send my dad over.
Let me go to Matt.
I'm not going to be listening this weekend.
Wait, hang on. Before I go to Matt, like, so I'm walking the dog in the neighborhood, and some neighbors were up on their porch. I don't see that often. And yeah. Hey, how you guys doing? Good. I was with Caroline. We were walking the dogs. Blah, blah, blah. We chatted briefly back and forth, and at one point, I didn't hear what he said. And rather than go, I'm sorry, I'm a little hard of hearing. Can you say that again? I was just like, uh-huh. All right, we'll see you later. He probably asked me a question.
Probably.
And I responded with, all right, good, nice to see you, you know, and now I'm the dick in the neighborhood.
Preston, there's a man with a gun in our house.
Yeah.
See you later. All right. Please call the police. All right, see you later.
We desperately need your help.
We're being robbed.
All right.
There's a man in our house with a straight razor.
Thank you.
There was another guy.
Hey, fantastic. See you later.
Another one of my neighbors, I saw it on the golf course, and he's talking to me from like 100 yards away. And I'm like, I point to my ear. I'm like, I can't hear you. And I start walking towards him, and he continues talking. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't hear you. I have a hearing issue. And he kept talking. I'm like, I just finally held up a hand, and I put my head down, and I walked all the way up to him. I'm
hallelujah.
Like, I'm like, I could not. I can't hear what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. So, did he ever get the point?
I don't know.
Is everything you watch on TV in closed caption?
Almost.
Me too.
Yeah.
And there are sometimes I have to rewind something like 3 or 4 times because I'm like, okay, that looked like that was important.
Yeah, I know.
And I need, and
but
I'm like,
you have hearing issues?
Kath, I have a hearing loss in my left ear. They asked me if I wanted a hearing aid. I'm like, no, not yet.
I was watching Matlock the other night.
Yeah.
It was a very
putting
important
on your
clue.
Yeah. You're and putting on your blue emu.
Yeah.
And you were in your sit-up bathtub.
And when you said the
TV,
when you said the other night, you meant 4 in the afternoon. But
I'll never hear the end of it from you guys.
Yes.
If I came in here with hearing aids, no, I'd never hear. I would hear it, but I would. You know what I mean?
You just turn it off.
Preston, I was sitting down for dinner at 3:30 watching Father Brown on WHYY,
Did you hear about Lloyd? He died the other day, and Madge didn't have any insurance.
It was right after Highway to Heaven. I know. I saw it. Let me go to Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Nothing. So don't feel too bad about getting hearing aids. My fiance is 24. She's been hearing impaired her whole life, and you know they're kind of an expense, and
but a necessary expense. Does she has it changed her life dramatically? I assume it has, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different. You know, we can't go out to public places, like, you know, to the bar, stuff like that. We have to kind of do that every so often.
Why?
She can't hear anything with all the noise and music.
Even with the hearing aids?
Well, yeah, the ones that she has, they kind of block out what they assume would be background noise.
Oh.
So if you're behind her or next to her, she can't hear. They don't pick up what she's saying.
So she must have pretty significant hearing loss.
Yeah. I mean, it's been her whole life.
Okay.
I mean,
does she sign? Does she?
She does speak. I guess she does sign.
Yeah.
But it's more like she just likes to read lips because it's.
Dude, that's what my friend does. She's been my friend since high school, and she never wears hearing aids. She strictly reads lips only, and she was a dancer. She wasn't a singer.
She was a dancer.
So there are people just naturally good at that, and then people obviously are taught how to do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me, especially with different mouths, different ways people pronunciate things that people can discern simply by reading lips what someone is saying.
But listen, as a dancer, she danced to the vibration of the music.
Like the rhythm of the night.
Yeah, to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Mm-hmm. No, she was a dancer. Jinx, oh my God!
Somebody's recommending that I get a life alert, too.
I don't know. Maybe I have a little
help,
bit.
Help, I'm a drummer and I can't get up.
I may have a little hearing loss because now that everyone's wearing masks, I mean, I think I might read lips a little bit because I really am not understanding anyone.
Yeah, it's tough. it's definitely been tough for me, you know, and I have to kind of lean in and say, I'm sorry, I have to get closer to you because I can't.
Just reach
anything.
In and pull the mask down.
Yes.
Just reach out.
I'm sorry, I have to see your lips.
And then
I'm going to touch your mouth when I do this. but I need to see that.
And then when you want them to stop talking, you just put your index finger over their lips.
I have to feel your lips move.
Yeah, I'm going to place my fingers on your lips. Don't worry, I sanitized.
I want to have a conversation.
Yeah, if I really want to hold tight, I got to put a finger up your nose. If you
right. Make sure I get a good grip.
Kathy, not only do I have hearing loss, but I also have this thing where I'll be looking at you as you're talking and completely not listening to a word you say. Marissa came in here last week, and she had my full attention. I was looking at her, and then she got done saying what she was going to say, and then I was like, oh, my God.
That has nothing to do with your hearing loss. You're just not paying attention.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yeah.
How big is Foghorn Leghorn?
That's awesome. Okay, so anyhow, they're making some progress in eyesight, which is great, and it'd be great if they could do some more for hearing, so we'll see about that. But anyhow, these are just some items from the junk drawer I thought that you would like to hear about.
They were great.
Before we go into a holiday weekend. So we are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second, and I have some bizarre file stories that I think you're going to dig. Rob McElhenney will be on the show this morning. Stay with us.
In 1776, our founding fathers told England to suck it. In 2020, 93.3 WMMR is commemorating this with a 4th of July weekend. Because frankly, we miss live music. And since we've got a long weekend, we're raiding the MM archives, pulling out the best live material we've got, and featuring it every hour. So crank up your Alexa, our app on your phone, or the radio as loud as it'll go, and celebrate our 4th of July weekend.
Sponsored by Hyundai City of Burlington. Shop South Jersey's favorite, HyundaiCity.com.
93.3 WMMR, playing everything that rocks, live.
Maybe Kathy's walking to the studio. I don't know.
I know where she is.
Where is she?
She's tending to her windshield replacement.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
They were meeting her in the parking lot to get that straightened out.
So. Was it
Safe Ride Replace?
Safe Ride Replace.
Yes, I believe
you guys
it is.
Have gotten really good at that.
One more time, Case?
Yeah.
Safe Ride Repair, Safe Ride Replace.
It's spot on. Nice job.
Should we harmonize?
I don't know how to do that. Who's going to do that?
I'll go the higher.
Okay. Safe Ride Repair, Safe Ride Replace.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys should get paid.
Can you do it again?
Safe Ride Repair, Safe Ride Replace.
Wow. Kathy, did you hear that?
It's actually Mainline Auto Glass.
Oh.
Mainline Repair, Auto Glass.
That's less than that. You got to work on that one.
One more time.
Mainline Repair.
Mainline Auto Glass.
Mainline Repair, Mainline Auto Glass.
That was good.
All right. One more time.
Mainline repair, mainline auto glass.
What did you say?
I can't do it. I'm starting with an R on the second one.
All right. 2, 3, 4.
Mainline repair, mainline auto glass.
He did it.
Yes.
Oh,
you guys
and not
good.
A good one. Nice.
That was awesome. We can go home.
It was very bizarre to see my car with no windshield on it.
Right? Looks odd, doesn't
it? Do you
it?
Like it? Ask her to keep it off.
I might go with this. Yeah. It's like a different type of convertible.
It's like an old school Army Jeep where you can put the windshield
so cool,
down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Call it a June bug.
Can we get a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic?
Yes, of course. There's a Tacony-Palmyra bridge now. There was a Burlington-Bristol bridge earlier. Now the Tacony is open. Traffic stopped in both directions. 95 southbound, James Cotman through to Bridge Street. The roadway reduced to 3 lanes now. It went from 4 to 3. This is an ongoing construction project. They're saying at least 2 years we'll see this. Schuylkill eastbound, slowing Montgomery into Spring Garden westbound, out near the Conshohocken Curve, and then Moreland Road in Willow Grove at Easton Road. We've got an accident to watch out for there. This traffic report brought to you by BP. BP and Amoco are supporting local first responders, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff. Learn more at bp.com/thankyouheroes. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now I want you guys to take requests.
Oh, no.
And doing this.
All with your business.
It can only go downhill. That was our Sergeant Peppers.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because then after a while, if people do, we'll try to rise to the challenge.
I just can't. I can't take the marbles out of my mouth.
Okay.
Safe Life Replace. And Mainline, what was it, Kathy? Mainline Auto?
Mainline Auto Glass.
Mainline Auto Glass.
No, Mainline Auto Glass was the last part.
Yeah,
right?
Mainline Repair.
Mainline Repair, Mainline Auto Glass.
I wonder if they're going to go with that jingle now.
I'm sure they might have some legal issues.
Yeah, maybe. But they owe us for advertising dollars at this point.
Yeah. Mainline Auto Glass. All
right. We need to do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
I love that so much. All right. The bizarre file is brought to you by HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. When it comes to snacking this summer, keep it Philly, and make it HERS. HERS forever good. Well, this is a wild story. What started out as reports of a man shooting into the air ended with a car driving off a cliff.
What?
Yeah, on Tuesday around 3:30 p.m., deputies responded to reports of a man firing a handgun near the town of Davenport, which is northwest of Santa Cruz, California.
Did he spook the car?
Shortly afterward, the same man is suspected of carjacking and took off in the vehicle. Deputies attempted to stop the car, but the man refused to pull over, driving over 100 miles an hour south towards Santa Cruz. When the man reached Santa Cruz, deputies terminated the pursuit for the safety of the community. Moments afterward, police located the vehicle driving on West Cliff Drive, a coastal road, where the suspect got into a solo vehicle traffic collision and went over the cliff and into the water. The suspect climbed out of the car and up the cliff. And deputies took him into custody. He was not injured.
What height are we talking on this cliff?
I don't know. I saw the photo. It looked formidable. Yeah. It didn't look like a little bitty thing.
The guy's indestructible then.
And they have video footage of the car upside down
in the water.
This dude got out.
Not even rattled.
Yeah, mm-mm. Kathy, to me it sounds like this guy probably rolled his window down while he was
on the way down.
On the way down. As he was falling.
Yeah. Yep. That's the only explanation.
Yes.
A 26-year-old woman, this is wild. A 26-year-old woman was shot multiple times after she was dared to steal a swastika flag from an Oklahoma man's front yard. This guy has flags, these huge swastika flags in front of his house.
My guess is that person's unhinged.
Sheriff's deputies responded to a shots fired call at 3 a.m. Sunday. When they arrived, they found the woman lying in a ditch. The female had multiple gunshot wounds. According to Sheriff Jody Helm, he said, so my deputies rendered her aid to her. Helm said the woman was at a party across the street from the residence of 44-year-old Alexander John Feaster. And she was dared to try and steal one of the two swastika flags that hang in his front yard. So she ran over to do it. And on the way back, someone yelled, gun. She dropped the flag at the end of the driveway and shots were fired. Helm said that Feaster used a rifle in the shooting. Feaster was taken into custody from his home with no incident. Helm said he immediately asked for a lawyer. Deputies decided to get a search warrant for his home. And this dude looks like a Nazi, too, man. I saw
no doubt.
I saw the mugshot of him. He's a scary-looking guy.
Oh, he's got a Hitler mustache.
He does have a blonde Hitler mustache, so he looks like surfing Hitler.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, he's Aryan Nation. He's blonde hair, blue-eyed, and that whole thing.
If everyone had a swastika.
Helm said, we recovered the suspect's rifle and got about 14 guns out of there and some ammunition. According to the neighbor, Feaster has only been flying his flags for about 1 year. The neighbor said nobody really knows him. He keeps to himself. Other than this instance, the neighbor said there hasn't ever been any violent issues.
He's always very generous at the bake sale.
They said it's never really been a problem. His flags got stolen a couple of times when he first put them out, but nothing ever came of it. This is the first time it's ever come to violence. The neighbor said he's been out mowing in neighbors' yards and just smiling and waving at everyone. The neighbor also said Feaster had a full black outfit that he would wear in public with a red swastika armband.
It's almost like that scene in Step Brothers, Preston, where he's dressed as Hitler mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Hey, neighbor.
Feaster is in the Garfield County Detention Center on charges of shooting with the intent to kill and assault and battery with a deadly weapon. Any charges against the woman who was shot because she was stealing.
Yes, she was.
Is left up to the district attorney. I just don't think you need to shoot someone because they're running out of your yard with their flag, with your flag. The Naval Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS.
Yes.
Has a message for America.
It's what you watch when you have your hearing aids in.
For America's sailors, please, for the love of Poseidon and the Seven Seas, Stop buying hallucinogens in the dark corners of the internet. Oh, NCIS said last week they issued a warning to sailors to the risk of acquiring LSD on the dark web. And apparently they're doing this a lot.
Really?
Recent law enforcement reporting has revealed that an increasing number of people are moving to purchasing illicit substances via the dark web because of the perceived anonymity provided by tools like the Onion Router, TOR, the NCIS notice reads. And they said, while TOR offers anonymity by obscuring IP addresses, law enforcement used various investigative techniques to identify both purchasers and sellers.
I have no desire to sashay on over to the dark web.
God, no. The notice doesn't just address the foolishness of trying to acquire a Schedule I narcotic online, but the potential dangers to U.S. service members. They said drugs purchased via the dark web are often laced with other substances and dangerous combinations that can lead to death.
Okay, is it illegal to surf the dark web?
No.
Okay, unless you're going to, like, illegal sites, which, you right. know,
but there are a lot more
stuff like that, but
illegal,
yeah,
right. nefarious.
Let's say you accidentally stumbled onto a child pornography page.
Yeah.
You've gone onto a child pornography page.
Yeah.
And you could be in a lot of trouble for Oof. That. So I wouldn't even met, like Steve was saying, I wouldn't even dabble in.
Unless they have like a you know, arts and crafts section.
Yes. All right. Well, here's a story out of England. A pub named after 17th century slave trader Edward Colston has covered over its sign amid plans for a name change. The Colston Arms in Kingsdown, Bristol, has hung up a temporary banner, and they're now calling the place Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface. And they've asked people to suggest new names. The sign outside, according to the owner, reads, "We are listening, Black Lives Matter." A statue of Colston in the city center was torn down and thrown into the harbor. The pub's banner reads, "Clearly temporary name, Ye Old Pubby McDrunkface. Suggestions welcome." So they're asking people. The landlord, Paul Frost, said it was just a bit of fun to draw attention to the issue. He said, "The point I'm making is that it's not my voice that needs to be heard. I'm a white middle-aged man. It's the people, the community around Bristol. And it's a serious issue. However, the banner suggests a little levity about the matter. And it's just get engaged, learn about the whole era, and make suggestions on Facebook, really." Admiral Taverns, which owns the pub, said that it is supporting Mr. Frost.
What do you think, it'll stay.
McDrunkface?
Yeah.
It could. Yeah. I mean, they did Bodie McBoatface over there, so yeah. Who knows. And then one last story. An unnamed man who was taken to a hospital last night following a suspected overdose of medicine that's used to knock out horses. Police said the drug Isolurane was stolen from a vet's office. This is in England as well. Overnight on Monday, they have warned that the drug is so powerful it can cause a fatal reaction if inhaled, swallowed, or injected by humans.
Just simply inhaled.
Yeah, they said anyone who has taken animal medicines or knows someone who may have taken them should seek medical help immediately. A 36-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the theft and currently remains in custody. So you're taking horse drugs. That's pretty desperate.
I thought cat stuff was enough.
Yeah. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We're going to take a break. Rob McElhenney is going to be joining us on the program this morning. And also, Robbie from Celebration Fireworks is going to do a little mini fireworks display for us live on the air. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Yes, it is indeed 4th of July weekend, and that means somebody's turning a year older.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Casey Boy. Oh,
no. And Jackie Bam Bam.
Bill Burns. His birthday on July 4th. Yeah. Is his July 4th as well?
Yeah, yeah, right? Is there still that contest case where
yeah.
to see who
Well, he's
first?
Given up. So Bill Burns and I, for the longest time, had...
He's our sales muckety muck here.
Yes, yeah. He's like the general sales manager now. And
Chaplin.
And Chaplin. He and I would try to wish each other a happy birthday first. So, I mean, we literally sit there like 11:58 and just get the text ready. And then the second it hit, you know, midnight, you send the text over. And at one point, it might have been like 2 years ago, I had somebody with me call him at 11:59.
So
he would be busy and wouldn't be able to send the text.
God.
And then last year, because he's
so you.
Dude, I got to win.
I know.
So last year, I think he fell asleep ahead of time. And so he texted me at 11:30, which I called officially no fair.
All right.
Yeah, you can call no fair on that.
Yeah, it wasn't your birthday.
And Jackie, for some reason, doesn't like to announce his birthday. Jackie Bam Bam, he's so quiet about it
all. He needs to relax.
Yeah.
Some people don't like the attention.
No, they don't.
My daughter is
It's like
way.
Complimenting Kathy. She doesn't like it.
Yeah. No, that's not what I said.
Yeah, I remember my buddy's daughter hated having Happy Birthday sung to her, you know, and that she was a little bit younger, which I thought to be it was unique because kids usually love that.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's a special turn. Moment. Absolutely. Yeah. So in honor of his birthday, I presented Casey with a gift. Unfortunately, it's nothing that I could show to you on air because I made a couple of videos for him. I've been doing these drum cover videos, and so I made two of them, and I had him sit down and watch them this morning.
It was awesome. It was such a nice surprise, and the fact that as the drummer, you dressed like the drummer from Fish.
Yeah, so they're both Fish songs.
Right.
Yeah. Which Casey is under the impression that I hate Fish.
Well, you play the part well, I got to tell you.
Well, what drives me crazy is Casey pushing Fish on me all the time. And I actually, there are some songs I think are fantastic that I actually love.
So you told me prior to this, that you were going to do this, Preston, and you were saying at that moment with all earnestness, so it wasn't, there was no public scrutiny of the things you were saying, that you got caught up in it and you were like, man, these guys are really great. You just don't like the live presentation.
Well, that's what I've found out. So I've always liked this album called Farmhouse from way back when they did a Sonic session with us back at Y100.
Back in 2000.
And I love the whole album. It's great. And so, you know, over the years, Casey has always tried to push their other music on me. And
well, he gave me a thread. And with that thread, I was like, ooh, okay, well, if you like that, then maybe he'll like this.
So he sends me, you know, these 15-minute long songs, these live versions. And it's just not my thing. It's not my thing at all.
It's kind of like Netflix, right? So you watch one show on Netflix and they're like, well, if you like that, then you might like this.
So while I was doing the video or getting ready to do this video, I knew what song I wanted to do. It's called Gotta Jaboo, and I'll play this. It's a great tune. Do we use this for traffic or something?
We use it for something.
I will use it as a... Is this the... Yeah, this is the live Sonic Session version. I'll use this as a winning bed.
Okay.
From time to time.
As I was getting ready to do this, I punched in Fish and did a search, and I found another song called Sigma Oasis, and it's from their most recent album, which is called Sigma Oasis. I'm like, this is really good. I like this song a lot. I listened to the whole album. I liked the whole album.
Yeah.
It was great. But I was telling Steve, Casey, about a month ago, I'm like, I can't tell Casey that I like it yet.
Yeah,
because
I want
this to be a surprise. I want this whole video to be a surprise. So I've been biting my tongue this whole time
telling you
how much I dig this album and how much I like this song in particular.
And sometimes I feel like, Preston doesn't like me, right?
And then
you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
I'll tell you something. We were having a discussion because there was at some point there was an on-air thing, and I think you felt a little bit. You know,
did I hurt him?
A little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
God, you know my feelings are very, very sensitive.
And we were having a discussion, and I knew you were doing this. I
did it on purpose.
Right. One time. Yeah.
I did a Fish dig on purpose
to
throw you off any that I might like the music. So I didn't mean it when I said that.
Apology accepted.
A little while back.
Was that an apology?
I don't think that it was
an apology. Okay.
Yeah,
it was an explanation.
Listen, man.
Was it him?
Yeah, was it him? Did he say it? Yeah,
it was him, right? It was. Yeah. Thank you for this.
But anyway, and so I made the first video, got a Jaboo, and I learned how to overlay some images and kind of had some fun with that. And there's some stuff other than me playing drums.
Right.
And then by the time I got to working on Sigma Oasis, I got much more adventurous. And I ended up, my wife bought me a green screen, so I used that. And I did some underwater scenes.
Wow. Why? Just for fun?
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was anything.
Because, listen, just watching me play drums is kind of boring. So I wanted to add some stuff in. So we're watching a segment. This is, it's called Sigma Oasis. It's kind of ethereal. So I did this space scene. But then I had to add a little bit of flavor for Casey. I'll have to wait because it's I want you to be surprised with it. And I kind of look off into the distance and then I... This thing pops up in the bag, says Destination Delco on it. So. And then the underwater stuff, I spent weeks working on this stuff. Whoa. Because my son and I had to film it together, and we had to take weights to the bottom of our swimming pool so that, you know, I wasn't floating up to the top. And it's me lip syncing underwater to the music, and I'm also wearing the John Fishman dress and
awesome.
All this other stuff. So it's been fun.
Okay, so I didn't notice the edits in the underwater scene because you were mentioning, well, I can only stay underwater for so long.
Yeah, that's a long segment of the song, and I'm like, I didn't stay underwater that entire time, so I had to do transitions and stuff like that. And I'm just learning how to use this stuff, so it's been fun. To mess around with. But anyhow, Marissa, can you post those videos and so people can see them? And there are some things that are just between Casey and I, so you may not get all of it.
Yeah, the SMB at the end, that's been a thing of ours for, God, what movie is that? South Park movie come out?
Longer, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. There's Suck My...
You figured it out. Uncle Effer, at the very end of the song, there's one lyric where he just says,
Let's just play the whole song.
Yeah, right.
Intact without any edits.
So ever since that song came out, SMB has been said or sung by one of us every single day.
Every day.
That we've worked together.
For how many years?
A long time.
Well, whenever that movie came out.
Well, dude, for my birthday a couple of years ago, you got me golf balls that said SMB on it.
Yeah, a day never goes by with at least it being uttered once. And that's been going on for almost 20 years that we've been doing that. So I added that at the end of the song.
It was so great. This is awesome. And I'm asking, I posted it on my Twitter. I'm also going to put it up on my Facebook page and stuff. So I'm asking.
Try to make sure a fish sees it.
Any of my fish friends, brethren, sisterin, sees this, please share it as well. Because I would love for John Fishman to see it, but I would love for Trey or anybody else. Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm going to send it to Carl, my friend Carl, whose birthday was 2 days ago. He's basically head of security for fish.
Okay.
Oh, well, maybe. Then you got a good shot.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
All right, see what happens.
So anyway, happy birthday.
Well, do you want to play, this is a, you what did a nice little drum solo in the, so this is President of the Drop.
The drums, I crank way up, so, you know, it's a lot hotter than the music is, but I kind of had a little fun towards the end here just playing around with it, because Fishman plays it pretty straight ahead. Nothing crazy.
What? You say nothing crazy, but like...
No, it's pretty straight ahead. I do it. There's one lick that I was pretty happy with. Those are called double strokes. It was fun doing that. Oh, and I danced in it. I did. I did a lot of. We're looking at this
twirling.
I did some. I do a little twirling.
Well, the best part of the dance is the story behind it. Preston was actually dancing to no music, but it's perfect.
Yeah, Casey's like, "Wow, you really got the groove." I'm like, "I wasn't listening to any music at all. I was just standing moving around in a room and filming myself."
And so. You know the story behind the muumuu, right? This is a real quick story. He wore it.
So this is what I'm wearing in the video. I'm wearing John Fishman wears this dress. It's a muumuu, and he wears a couple different ones, I think, right? But the one with the red circles.
This is the main one, the blue dress with the red donut circles, and he wore it to one concert one time. And then he shows up to the next, you know, night of concerts, and he's just wearing his regular clothes.
And the band was like, "Where's the where's the muumuu?" And nice. And so ever since then, he's been wearing.
Legend was born.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Happy birthday, man.
And also thank you to Marissa. She bought me pizza last night for my birthday. We went to this place called Circles and Squares in the, my cousin calls it Port Fishington, so it's like Port Richmond, Fishtown, Kensington area. And you have to basically order your pizza on Monday for, like, you know, the rest of the week. And so I asked her to go out on a date, and then she ended up paying for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you order it because it looked great. You know, yeah. So the picture, you guys were raving about it. So you ordered on Monday, and and then you pick it up on Monday?
Yeah. No. So the pizza place is actually closed on Monday and Tuesday. But on Monday, at some point in the, you know, morning or afternoon, they released the schedules, right? So you... They only make X amount of pizzas a day, and you order your time slot. You know, they have a square pizza and a circle pizza. That's why they call it circle.
Right.
And you order it, and you have to order for a very specific time. So my time was Wednesday between 5:30 and 5:45.
Steve, we've had this pizza before. A guy brought it to Camp Out for Hunger a couple years ago.
That's right. It was sensational.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, pizza gut.
Speaking of making pizzas, and it was kind of ties into this conversation we were going to have. A little while back, I had noticed, you know, we've been having construction work that's been going on for quite a while here at our buildings. And right outside of our window, there's been scaffolding set up for months and months and months. And while we're doing our show, these guys walk by our window all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't help but just kind of watch them while they're working.
Yeah. Caulking, dusting.
And they can see us. And we're looking at them. Well, we're working too, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
It's like a zoo setup. Like,
yeah, totally. They're on the other side, of, the glass. Side of the glass.
Those are humans.
And it got me to thinking about people, and I had mentioned this briefly last week, and we got a number of text messages, of people who do a job where they are watched by people who are not coworkers, just random strangers watch you work, doing what you're doing, and how does that make you feel? And making pizzas is kind of that way, too.
Oh, yeah.
The people that are behind the counter and they're swirling the sauce and putting the cheese on, you just sit there and stare at them and watch them doing what they're doing.
Well, there's a couple places. Like, you go on the boardwalk, right, like Mac and Manco's or whatever. You watch those guys spinning the pies and, you know, spinning the dough and everything. And Pinocchio's and media, they have, a window set up and a little stool for kids to stand up on and watch them. Yes, it's... And they make it look easy, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's...
It is sort of mesmerizing. Yeah. It's almost like your ASMR sort of thing, Preston, where you're like,
that's
I want to watch this.
That's exactly
it. It's just soothing to watch it.
And what was mesmerizing about the guys out here the other day, at least, was there's sort of like wood planks on the ceiling of this atrium, and they were cleaning each plank like precisely.
Yes.
So that's what I was watching. I was just watching him go with the duster over each single plank. I'm like, wow, he's not missing a single speck.
Yep.
I want to go out with him.
So I was curious about people who have a job where they work and it's just part and parcel that people will stop and stare and watch what you do.
Yeah.
And you're not a performer of
right,
sorts.
Right, right.
You
know, like what a street performer.
But what you're doing, that at some points, the public can watch it.
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR, our number.
Like, a lot of times kids are, they love garbage men. Right, and they'll sit at the front window and they'll just wait for the garbage truck to come up.
I don't think it's just kids.
Yeah,
I don't. Like, seriously, like when we mentioned this briefly last week, it's adults. They'll sit there and they'll look out the window, and I don't know if they're like judging the garbage man or like making sure that they're doing right, or if they just still really like watching what the garbage men do.
I do. Yeah. I love the robotic nature of the truck. You brought on the back.
I brought on the back.
It's a dream of yours.
Let me ask you: do you guys feel a little bit gypped if you're watching the garbage men and they don't? Crush the garbage.
It's not really a show.
Yeah.
Without that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
I paid good money for this.
Yeah. I know.
Actually,
I
agree. It's like going to the strip club and not making it into the champagne room.
Right. But, I mean, we... when people are seeing us live, we're kind of putting on a show at that point. So it's a little bit different. We are kind of performers then.
Window washers is one for me. Like when they wet it and then they use the squeegee. Mm-hmm. And I will sit there and watch that.
Or just the mechanism of going up and down on the exterior of a high rise.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they clean the what's the name of the building? I have a brain fart. The angular one.
Sierra?
Yes.
Sierra?
Oh, my God. When the whole rig opens up and they come down on the outside of that. And I have. I've just stood and watched. I forget where I was. I had to be in proximity, but I was watching the whole thing.
Somebody working an excavator, I will sit and watch that for a while.
That's why construction sites, Yeah, anytime on a construction site.
Down here in Belmont, you know, where they were digging. They're digging out. They're putting in apartments there.
Where that garden center was.
Man, they were doing some heavy work. And I was just like, I didn't want the red light to end. I just wanted to sit there and watch for a while.
Though it was, the sound was a little nerve-wracking for a while. They were doing jackhammering out in the street. And they were creating a perfect square in the pavement, Preston.
Yeah.
And watching that was kind of cool.
All right, let me go to some calls and some surprising ones, like Tim, who is Verizon Tech. Hey, Tim, good morning. Tim, are you there?
I was staring at a bird.
Oh.
I understand.
What's up? Wait, your name just turned to Larry.
Nope, I'm still Tim.
What the hell? It says Larry.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, hi, Tim. What's up, man?
Hey, that's the point. Yeah, so I'm a Verizon tech, and I go into people's houses, and people stare at me all the time.
So you, when they're coming in, when you're doing work in someone's home, they'll just sit there kind of over your shoulder and watch you the whole time.
They just stare. I mean, it's cool if they're, you know, 5-10 feet away, just kind of shooting the breeze and stuff. But if I could weirdly feel you breathing on my neck.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable. Now, do you think that part of that is that they're just, you're in the house, and they want to make sure, or is it they're genuinely interested in what you're doing?
I think it's kind of both.
Okay.
You know, it's.
Kathy said yes immediately.
No, because you know why? Because it bothers me. I don't think if somebody's coming into your house to do work, you shouldn't stand. I don't think that you should stand over them.
No,
I am typically home, and I say if you need anything, I'll be in the kitchen or
I'll be
in the
shower.
In the
I'm going to go up and put on something comfortable. Yes. There's an outlet in there. Yeah. Do you have something you could stick in it?
Stop.
Tim, you want Kathy's
Stop
address?
Stop it. Stop. That's not what happens. Let me just make a comment without that. No, but I do. I have a friend who will stand almost like help. I'm you're not helping, by the way. They hate you.
They do.
I agree. I'll take advantage of myself every once in a while, but don't breathe on my neck.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
It's funny because I will, when I do have a check come to the house like that, I will.
Do you have something to stick in this?
I'll show them where they need to work and what they need to do, and then I'll hang for a little bit. But then I feel self-conscious, like, oh, these people think that I don't trust them, that they're going to steal something from my house. Right. So, all right, I'm just going to go over here and turn the camera on.
Let me go to...
upstairs shaving.
My sideburns?
Oh, my mutton chops.
I'm going to go to Bill. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what do you do for a living, Bill?
I'm a tree worker. I climb trees for a living.
Yeah, I love watching that. You remove and do all that stuff?
Yeah, we usually have an audience out there watching us.
My parents just had two huge, enormous trees in their backyard, and one started to fall, so they had to get it removed. And, I mean, it was like a show. They were sitting out there taking videos. Like, we got invited over. She's like, you got to come see this. Come sit on the patio with
Bill,
us.
Bill, what's the biggest tree you've ever removed?
Probably like a 180-foot tulip poplar.
Whoa. Holy F. 180 feet. We had a huge tree in our backyard that I was sure was going to crash on our neighbors when we moved into the house, so I had it taken down. And, man, going up there, the dudes climb up, and then they're cutting it in pieces, and the pieces fall down into the yard. Whoa.
Yeah. That's pretty wild, Bill. Does it bother you? Do you kind of like the fact you have a little bit of an audience?
It doesn't really bother us. It's usually a normal thing, so we're kind of used to it. The only problem is people like to wander into, like, the drop zone.
Yeah. That could be deadly.
Yeah, and accidents happen very quick in the tree business. So,
I bet. All right, well, stay
it's
safe.
A dangerous thing.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Before home ownership, I had no idea how expensive it was for a tree service to come out. And then you buy a house, and like Steve, when you talk about a big tree coming down, you're like, oh, that's what the price tag on this is?
Yeah, it's worth it, though. Because we had four trees that were not in good shape removed because we did that all before all the blizzards and all the stuff and everything was coming down. I'm so glad we did it.
All right, I'm going to go next to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hi, I work as a landscaper in, like, mulching and gardening, and we have just random older men from parts of the neighborhood, wherever we are, just come and they'll watch you mow, or they'll come from a different house, and they'll just start being like, what are you doing while you're mulching and stuff, and it's just weird.
Do they sort of want to talk landscaping with you?
Depending on the man, some of them can, I guess, see what we're doing, but really have no idea what we're doing, and they just want to just have conversation. And then some of them want to talk more landscaping.
All right, and it's mainly older men.
It's older men. They're just, they'll walk out their driveway.
You look very muscular. You could probably get this knot out in my back. I'll give you a quarter.
Do you ever have to tell them, look, I can't talk right now. We're busy.
Sometimes, yeah. If they're talking too much and pulling you away from the work, yeah. Other than that, it's just weird glances.
Okay. All right.
Spank me.
Thanks, Mike.
I don't normally like.
I said, spank me. I said, spank me, and I'll leave.
I'm the mulch guy.
I'll leave.
I don't normally like watching painters, but when we had a meeting yesterday on the fifth floor, and I looked out the window, and on the roof, they had a painter with a spray paint or a spray gun.
Was it Mike, our friend?
That's I don't think, and that's the first thing I look. I'm like, it doesn't look like Mike, but he had like a sprayer.
Okay.
That's fun to watch.
Oh, I love watching painters, especially when they do the edges with no tape. You know, when you paint, you got to tape it all up, and they just go right across.
We used to have a dude who painted a couple of rooms in our house in Manayunk, and he was one of those guys. Super sharp, yeah.
There are like subreddits and Instagram accounts called Oddly Satisfying, and painting is one of them, because you watch these videos and they become, it's almost like ASDMR for you, Preston. Is that what it's called?
ASMR.
DVDA. It's almost like DVDA to me.
Hang on. DSL.
I'm going to go to Brian, who is also a landscaper. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Gadzooks.
All right, you heard the last guy. Same thing, old men.
I see everybody, you know, little kids just standing right in my way. Well, I'm literally like on a death machine, essentially, you know.
So that's an issue, people getting in the way?
Yeah, because the mower can shoot stuff, you know, 150 miles per hour, you know, super dangerous. But yeah, I mean, people that I'm not even working for at their windows looking at me, all types of weird stuff.
Interesting.
Didn't you know somebody who works,
Brian,
who would like, who am I thinking of? Like, would be paid by an old woman to go over and show her his junk? Like a friend of yours?
No, he wasn't a landscaper.
Oh, Brian. I thought he was a landscaper.
No, that was a gal I knew. Yeah, there was a guy.
Hold on, what?
Yeah.
This woman would pay him $100. I can't even get into it.
Hold on. Was he younger?
Yeah,
like he was
hung like big time.
Oh. And
she would pay him to come over, and she would
give him a
blow hobby and pay him.
Yeah. Oh my.
Right, exactly.
And he wasn't even landscaping.
Yeah, and not
I got
even,
the story
he
wrong.
Didn't even mulch her yard, her bed.
What about the mulch?
Yeah. I want to know ages, cuz with this one you think it's like she's like 90.
No, I don't know.
You don't know.
I know that he
was
younger.
Good to see you again. Yeah, I'm watching Matlock. I just got my hearing aids.
But
I made a drum video.
According to my friend, he was like abnormally hung, like gigantic.
Okay.
Yeah, wow, so. Interesting.
In case you're wondering, Kathy, if you're 40 years old, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I will? I love
you for that. Are you kidding me?
What I love watching are those bridge divider thingies.
Where they move?
Yes.
The concrete separators?
Oh.
Yeah, they had that on the Commodore Barry.
Oh, my. All of them. They got Commodore Barry, Walt Whitman, Ben Franklin, all the bridges.
You can handle, bro. It's a pretty wild piece of machinery. Let me go to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Preston?
Yeah, bud. So what's your profession where people watch you work?
I work as a mechanic.
Okay. And you work in a garage where, you know, the people that are paying for the work to be done can watch what you're doing?
I have a window and a wide open garage bay that they can stare at me through.
Okay.
Are you good with it? Because I know sometimes people can be very annoying. They're trying to, you know, they, as Kathy said, somehow they think that they're mechanics at this point and they're going to help you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they come in, they try to ask, they try to tell me how to do my job better than what I'm doing.
That's not good. Why go to the mechanic in the first place? Fix it yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I have no idea what they're doing. That's why I go to take my car to a mechanic. I have no idea what you're going to do. Just do that voodoo that
you do so well,
and give me my car back.
Well, Chris, also I've seen a lot of places. I remember a place that used to be when I got my car service fairly frequently. The place put in a window.
Oh, really?
For that specific purpose, because people would go outside and hang by the open bay doors.
Yeah.
And it was dangerous.
Yep. Yep. Because you never know if something's going to come flying out that shop.
Yeah, true. All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, man. Let me go next to Chris. Yeah, I'll bet this happens a lot in his profession. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, pal. All right, what do you do?
So, I am a paramedic.
Ah, okay. Yeah, dude. Just the vehicle alone pulling up in a neighborhood draws a crowd.
It does. Especially when you have an unfortunate incident happening, like on a basketball court or something like that, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could be in a house with, you know, one-on-one with one person, or you could be at a stadium with, you know, 200 people watching you.
Since what you do is so critical, what would you like people to know when they do see you and they do tend to congregate? What do you want them to know about in how they should react in that situation?
Honestly, I think most paramedics and EMTs will agree with this. Like, we're in our mood.
Right.
And the kind of cool thing is you'll actually, like, see – most, you know, people, we actually kind of build this wall up where there might actually be 200 people watching us, but, you know, we only see the patient in front of us.
You just focus. You've learned to focus. Well, that's good. Yeah, because you don't want to be distracted when you're actually saving a life.
Exactly. And that's something you just kind of learn, like, kind of over time and everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of paramedics and EMTs just kind of have, like, this sixth sense of, number one, when somebody is really sick and you don't realize it at first. And number two, like, when you're there to do your job, it's that focus. You know, you try not to get, you know, sidetracked by, you know, like you said, crowds of people or whatever have you.
Do people say stuff to you?
Sometimes they do, but a lot of times we don't even hear it.
You're very muscular.
Yeah.
I got a knot in my back. You want to make some quick money?
Of course, people, you know, it's obviously a very emotional time.
Yeah.
When we're with people, especially if it's in the house. You know, you're with a daughter, you're with a mother, with a father.
Right. EMTs and paramedics and so on, I think, have more priority than anyone else, even more so than the police sometimes, because it's like, look.
That's direct.
Do not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save a life here. You know, everybody, yeah. Leave us alone. You know, I think most people would respect that.
Yeah, and it's actually adaptation. Like, you're adapting to what's going on. Because those things change really quickly, you know. One minute everything might be cool. Next minute, you might have a hysterical family member or something like that. You know?
Yeah, you have to adapt and have to remain fluid. Let me tell you something. If you ever need an amateur trach guy, I'm your guy.
You're the dude. He can do it with a big pen.
I'm with a big pen.
Give Steve a call.
Yeah. He hasn't done it yet, but he knows how to do it.
It seems easy.
Yeah. Well, you've seen videos.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Yep.
Another thing I did when I was in Williamsburg, we went on this little hike, and then we came around to this glass blowing plant.
Hobby. Glass hobby.
Glass hobby.
Yeah, that's very satisfying.
It's really, really. And so these guys were making, you know, pitchers. And,
I think they must be used to it, though. Like, they're
just put your lips on.
Oh, my God.
They're kind of putting on a show.
Yeah.
If you're blowing glass.
Yes.
Yeah, there used to be a place in Maniunk. I don't know if it still exists, but that you could go in and watch them do that. And it's hypnotic.
Yeah.
There was a place in Westchester called Simon Pierce. It's not there anymore. And it used to be a glass-blowing place and a restaurant as well. And I never got to go there. And I believe
glass-blowing and a restaurant?
And a restaurant, yeah.
What?
Kind of cool, huh?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, kind of weird, huh?
Let me go to Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Good morning. All right, Matt, what do you do?
I'm a roofer.
Huh? You're a roofer.
I'm a roofer.
Do people gather on the roof and watch?
Yeah, they do. It's a little bit of fun. You know, parents will come by and have your kids with them, and I'll wave. But every now and again, you get the homeowner that pulls the chair out to the driveway.
Oh, yes. Really?
All day.
I've heard of that. Yep.
And they get on your nerves real quick.
Do they forward their opinion to you while you're up there?
They do.
When a roofer works real fast, though, like the shingle the nail, shingle the nail, like just quick, like that is mesmerizing.
It is.
Yeah.
Do you ever have a situation
going on, you can kind of ignore them.
Do you ever have a situation where there's like a window that people can sort of look out and see what you're doing?
Oh, plenty of times.
Yeah, no doubt.
They'll open the window and hang out to see what you're doing.
I believe it. All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Do you think this is excessively bushy?
I hate you guys.
excessively bushy. Here's some texts that are coming in that Marissa highlighted for me. Zamboni.
Zamboni. Oh, yeah.
Zamboni driver.
Yeah, but that's like you can't part of the show.
Yeah, you're right.
Anything that's sort of, I find watching when someone's baking and they're sort of systematically.
Great. Here you go. Annie Ann's. Twisting the pretzels.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
They do it so fast.
Or a rapid fire folder at a clothes store, the Gap or something.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. People stare at us when we crush cats at our family-owned junkyard. I think it's supposed to be cars.
Oh, dear God. Don't do that.
Oh, that's great. There's a bucket of tabbies. Crush them.
Oh, my God.
They are doing it wrong.
Kids, we're going to the cat crushing place. You want to come?
No.
That's from Kathy and Lisa in Mantua, New Jersey.
It's Cat Crushing World. Kids just love Cat Crushing World. Any cat, bring a family cat. Any cat you find, to Cat Crushing World. Don't worry, we have our own cats ready to be crushed.
You just terrorized your poor child for his life.
Coming soon, Dog Crushing World.
People stare at us when we crush cats at our family-owned junkyard.
That's a terrible business
idea. I like to pester people for backlogs, but even I love Cat Crushing World.
Here this says, I'm 65, and when I was a kid, there was a Chinese restaurant that made their own fortune cookies, and you could watch from the sidewalk through the glass. It's really cool. I've seen them make fortune cookies before. It is kind of mesmerizing, and especially they can do it very quick, and so it's like boom, 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 and one after another.
Any business that, the Tom Papa series about bread making, yeah. Anything like that is mesmerizing.
Here's another one. Our vending machine guy.
Yeah.
He texted and he said, everywhere I go, people watch me open up the machines. That is kind of fascinating.
They want to see what's inside.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm a freelance cameraman for the news and I get watched all the time. Yep. I believe that.
Yeah.
How about bartenders? I was a bartender and I always catch people staring at me as I was making drinks. Now I'm a nurse and you would think that people would stare at me more doing this, but actually I think I was stared at more as a bartender. I believe that.
You're kind of putting on a show when you're a bartender, too.
Yeah.
Like you have to
start Cocktail.
Yeah. But you got to perform a little bit.
Mm. You know what song was in the movie Cocktail?
Don't do it.
Kokomo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that where that comes from?
It is. It was in the soundtrack.
Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Tropical drink melting in your hand.
Have a Harvey Wallbanger play.
Yeah. Jamaica, ooh,
I want to take it. Well, you should do this for Nick's birthday. You should do a drum video of this.
July 21st.
You got to get on it quickly.
Yeah.
I may have already done it. here's another one. It says, back when the Patco trains had the old cars where you could sit at the very front next to the driver. That's from Chris.
Yeah.
Yep. So a number of them.
I don't understand that. You could sit next to the driver in the train?
I guess so.
Huh.
It said when the trains had the old cars and you could sit at the very front next to the driver.
You could. Yeah, absolutely. I remember. Yeah.
Wow. You know the high speed line? This is a random side note, but the high speed line on SEPTA that goes from King of Prussia down to Upper Darby.
Right.
They used to serve cocktails on that line.
Really?
For like 30
or 40. Oh, that's funny.
It was the last SEPTA train that allowed alcohol on it.
Wow.
Okay. Can you on a trolley, is there a separate cockpit for the driver?
Don't know. I've actually never been on a trolley.
Never?
Never been.
There's
on
always
a trolley.
A full butcher shop on every trolley.
hang on. Let me go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, James?
Yeah, I was trying to call you earlier. It was funny because I was actually backed into a paver with a dump truck with the bodies up in the air, dumping the asphalt in. And there's people looking at me with their kids while you're like presenting the whole.
Oh, so you do asphalt work?
Yeah, well, yeah, I run a dump truck today. I'm actually doing asphalt today on paving, but you do other things.
You know what I love, James? I love watching the steamroller.
Yes.
Flat. It's like ironing on a Titanic level.
James, I have a question. I have a question for you. You drive a dump truck, right?
Yes.
Are you a large guy?
No, not well. By most standards, no. I'm average.
Almost all dump truck drivers I see are big dudes.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of physicality to it.
Yeah, I have to be.
I'm here for the church, dump truck.
I don't know. Why couldn't you do that?
I operated a dump truck.
Yeah, like arm wrestling champions.
Yeah.
But all that sitting around, you know?
Like over the top. Yeah, all that sitting around. Yeah. No, he was just physically.
Driver.
Yeah.
But I was telling the other guys that are stacked up waiting to go in the paver, I was explaining what you were talking about. And there was like this pause on the CB. They're like, yeah, because this is so
expletive exciting.
But it is. Know, but to the neophyte or to the civilian, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, thanks for your call, by the way, James. And I saw a semi driving down the road the other day, and on the back, and it was a custom one. You could tell the guy owned it because they had it all decked out. And on the back of it, it's what did it say? It said, a childhood dream. What was I thinking?
I'm like, that's great. That's great. Yeah.
He loved him as a kid, decided to get into it, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is really freaking glamorous.
We've talked about glamorous. Digger Rough. Freaking glamorous. Yeah. But it's an attraction that never leaves you, you know, the heavy machinery.
Yeah. The trolleys in San Francisco, those trolley drivers, it is way different than have you guys ever been in?
I have, and it was wonderful.
I mean, there's all these pulleys and levers.
Levers
and stuff
and levers.
Like,
those are cable cars.
Cable cars, yes.
Yeah, which are a little bit different. There's an actual cable running underneath.
Because of the hills, right, Preston?
Yeah, and so that it actually, there's an engagement system that they have to, that actually grabs onto the cable, and the cable is constantly moving.
Yeah. Right.
And it has to grab onto the cable and pull the car, so that's why they're different than trolleys.
It was pretty cool to watch.
It's pretty interesting.
How could you not know that, stupid?
The cable cars.
No, it's the same. So some are using the electrified cables above, which is a regular trolley.
That's a trolley,
right?
Yeah.
And then the cable cars, which are
I think they still run, don't they?
They do. The cable cars? Cables? Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love them.
Fields of poop.
Fields is a poop as far as the eye can see. Spectacular.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Here's one for sure. In fact, let me go to George. Hi, George. You're on the line. Good morning.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, but talking about occupations where people just stare at you and watch what you do when you're working. What do?
I do elevator work. My friends call me Elevator George.
We had elevator workers in the building here. Case, you remember?
Yeah.
We were like,
fascinating.
We just want to go in and look. Can you do the diehard thing where you go through the roof and all that stuff? Yeah. But it is fascinating.
It's funny that your friends just call you your occupation and your name.
Yeah. Elevator George.
It's Radio Casey over there.
Like they wouldn't nickname you Otis or something like that. A little more clever.
Yeah.
I am Elevator George. George, so, do people ask you questions about your job?
Constantly, because I work in, like, every place you can think of, homes. You know,
any place with an elevator, right?
What I do is I like to get the elevator when I get on top to work on the inside of the hatch. I let the top be down about a foot and open it up in front of a crazy-looking dude and then jump under the car.
That's a big thrill for you, huh, to jump in on somebody?
Wow.
Are there a lot of residential elevators you work on?
I work on everything, home elevators, all of it, escalators. Yeah.
And it's old Elevator George.
Steve. Wow.
I've a lot of things. You know, you get goofy questions. Did you ever get hurt in that? I said, I don't think so.
All right.
Yeah. If you get hurt bad, don't laugh. That's just what it is. I would laugh, too. I'd help you afterwards, but I'd have to laugh first. But, I mean, there's a lot of things.
Hey, can't say that, dude.
Elevator George.
Is a potty mouth. Elevator George.
Now your new name is Potty Mouth George.
Bye-bye, George. Okay.
Vanilla Ice is obsessed with putting elevators in his house. When he does those Vanilla Ice projects, he puts elevators in every house.
And a two-floor house.
And people probably watch him, too. All right, so
I call him Elevator Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. And, thank you for your calls. We do appreciate it. And I was curious because we have these construction workers that are right outside our window, and I couldn't help. I just noticed one day I'm just staring at this guy, watching him do what he's doing, and I'm wondering if he's thinking, would you stop looking at me, please?
Well, we're not going to be able to do it anymore.
I know.
Scaffolding's gone.
Did they remove the scaffolding now?
Yeah, Steve, if you walk over to the window, like, you can see down now.
Oh,
all
right.
We weren't able to before, so they're getting close to finishing this up.
Thank you for your calls. We need to take a break and come back in a moment. Our buddy Rob McElhenney will be joining us in just a few, so make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. TeamMMR.com and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Volley and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
All right, we are going to get Rob McElhenney on in a few minutes, but I think we're going to debut a piece of music here.
Yeah, we have it all ready to go. It's in the stack, as they say.
Oh, okay. So we were hoping to play this on a Friday morning.
Yeah.
But we're off tomorrow, and this can't wait. There's been kind of a theme over the past month or so of Fridays, a phrase that we've been throwing around, and Casey decided to put it in the song. So I thought I'd play this for you here.
Well, this was inspired by you, Preston.
It was my idea, yeah. But you executed everything. So here we go. I like the odds.
Yeah.
No sad bro. Nice work.
Awesome. You got to do the nice Hetfield growl.
Very, obviously very Metallica-esque.
Yeah.
The great Zach. Help you with that?
Yeah, oh, of course he did. I can't do what he does. He was able to put a little reverb on it and make it sound a little bit better than what I gave him.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I also have a friend of mine. She has a Cricut machine. Do you ever hear about these things?
No.
It's like these laser cutters. You can make these cool little arts and crafts and stuff. And so she made me a No Sad Bro window sticker.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. That's cool.
Yeah. I just gave her the font that I wanted, and she made it for me, and now it's on my car.
A nice. Cricut machine?
Yeah, so it's spelled C-R-E-I-C-U-T, not like cricket, like regular.
T-N-U-C. Like,
yeah, T-N-U-C is how you spell it. So she made, I said, hey, can you do this for me? I want it about this big, this, you know, with this font, and boom, did it. Now it is on my window.
So, Is it like a 3D printer or?
No, it's a cutter.
Okay.
I don't necessarily know if you maybe hook it up to your computer and
I would imagine, right? You put the graphic in.
It executes it. Yeah. So what you can do with it is you can create stencils. You know, so if you wanted to, you know, like board and brush and stuff like that, I'm sure has a Cricut type machine.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. That was cool.
Well, good work on the song there, Casey.
Thank you. It'll be, I guess, maybe a regular on Friday.
The music is from?
Karaoke.
Karaoke, okay, yeah.
YouTube karaoke.
Hey, we're waiting for Rob McElhenney to give us a call, and so that means we have some time to do a couple things real quick. I do have some food-related stories.
Oh, all right, let's do it. Before 4th of July.
It's time for the 4th of July, pre-4th of July. It's not quite 4th of July version of the connoisseur.
There you go. We're going to start with, I have a lot of stuff here that I could actually go through.
You might have to go through it all, depending on if we get a call.
Well, he's scheduled to call at 9:30.
All right. Yeah, so we'll, we got 5 minutes.
Very good.
How about this one? Chipotle is launching an online farmer's market, so fans can buy fresh products straight from farmers in the brand supply chain.
That's interesting.
The Chipotle virtual farmer's market is powered by Shopify.
Shopify.
Chipotle's chief marketing officer said the movie.
The hell is that?
Is meant to help get farmers revenue.
Are you relaying code to the enemies? What's going on?
Cat crushing.
Yeah, that's two so far today.
Wait,
anyway.
So does it mean to
make your food that the food that they're making there? Or you
that's what I initially thought. But I think you can just get groceries through the people that they buy groceries
from.
That's
weird.
If you like Chipotle and you want to support the people that support them, maybe you. Maybe that's why.
Is this a front for a human trafficking thing? Is that
a motivation?
Stop. I hope not.
Gotta figure out what's going on here.
No, it's not
that. All right. I need something more interesting than that. I know Rob's on the line, but I need something more interesting than that. I'm going to do this very, very quickly.
We owe it to Rob if he's listening.
Yes.
I hope he's not.
This is the last connoisseur item for you. Fruit Loops tropical cereal now exists.
I thought Fruit Loops with the whole bird motif and everything was supposed to be tropical to begin with.
I agree, but regular Fruit Loops...
That's like a monster version of Count Chocula.
They actually all taste the same. Like every single Fruit Loop, even though it's a different color, tastes the same as the other ones. It's just color. The tropical version features distinct flavors in different colors.
Being what? What is mimicked with these...
The yellow
chemical flavors.
The yellow, orange, and green sweet and multigrain rings are pineapple, banana, orange, and mango flavor.
And jerky.
That actually sounds pretty good. And beef jerky. So that actually sounds pretty good.
Listen.
Pineapple, banana, orange, and mango.
Fruit Loops, not one of my favorite, but I was okay with it.
You hate them?
Yeah, I never liked them.
I'm with you. I don't, is the, it's just the color that's a draw for kids.
It's the joy of eating fruit without eating anything remotely associated with fruit.
Yeah, do you know I had somebody say that to me one time? She was giving her kid, I don't call it Fruit Loops, I don't know, it was something like that, and she goes, well, there's fruit in it. And I was like, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you, and she was dead serious. And
is this
like,
the same woman who thought that your bags on the airplane flew in a separate aircraft that flew behind the plane?
No, the car's
I gotta go, Child Services is here.
Wow.
No.
Okay. No, there's no fruit in Fruit Loops.
I know that.
Yes. I know you know that. Your friend does not know that. All right, that's the last connoisseur story. It was a quick connoisseur, but I wanted to make sure that I got out a couple of food stories before we get into the holiday weekend. All right, let's get him on the line. He's calling and needs some assistance, and we are more than happy to oblige in that regard. So please welcome our good friend, Mr. Rob McElhenney, to the program. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Well, I'm a little bit disturbed. I feel like there's a conspiracy afoot from the breakfast cereal industry, because Fruit Loops has been tropical since like 1982.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Right. It was a whole predication. Right? Yeah, but what was not explained initially when they debuted the product is that every one of the loops, though it's colored differently, is the exact same flavor.
You show me where there is a toucan living on this earth that isn't in a tropical environment.
It's true. Right. It's true.
You're right.
So just by nature, and I guarantee you that the tropical ones probably taste exactly the same as the other ones. But I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, no, you're a wise man.
Rob.
This is the Fruit Loop lobby.
It's powerful.
I want to start by thanking you. I asked a request of you. I try not to bother our celebrity friends, but my wife is on the Education Foundation for our school district, and you and Caitlin did a video for the graduates of Souderton Area High School. You did way more than I asked for, so I really appreciate that. That was very cool of you to do that.
No problem. Honestly, you guys have been so great for us, and we were happy to do it. We made a number of those kinds of videos, and you know, everybody's got their own struggles and sufferings that they're going through. We feel especially bad for all those kids out there that had graduated this year, and it's supposed to be a special time for them, and they missed out on it, which is a bummer.
Well, listen, your cause near and dear to you, Cora. Has been having some real struggles as well. Obviously, the golf outing's not going to happen this year, which is a big fundraiser for them. But they've taken a big financial hit, correct?
Yes. Look, like everybody has, but especially organizations in social services. And these are the exact organizations that we all need right now, and people at greatest risk need. And they're struggling. So you know, we're looking to raise as much funds as we possibly can, and also be respectful of the fact that everybody is in a difficult and uncertain time right now. So
yeah, it is the predicament, because there are these very needy, very worthwhile charities, and you're approaching it the way respectfully, because there are some people, a lot of people are out of work and so on and so forth. We can tell you that we've had one charity event here through the station, through our sister station, and I'll man, people are generous. They'll step up regardless. So that's very encouraging. And you always feel, it always feels weird to go with, you know, hand in hand when you're trying to say, oh, can you help out, especially knowing what everyone's going through. But it's so inspiring to see that people will rise to the challenge. And Cora is so essential. You turned us on to it, and the stories that we've learned and what Cora is responsible for is so necessary with all the tumult and all the stuff that is going on. This is a real... They you know, boots on the ground, get it done sort of a movement. And can you explain what CORE is about to people who are unfamiliar with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an organization that works mostly with families and kids who are at greatest risk, whether that is in the lower level justice system, whether it's behavioral issues, whether it's learning disabilities, or if it's just in need of community support and family support. And those are the services that they offer. All over the city of Philadelphia. They're based up in the Northeast, but they really do offer these services everywhere. And a lot of families depend on these services to help raise their kids and to raise the next generation of Philadelphians. And so it's something that's near and dear to me because my father worked there for 35 years. I worked there as a camp counselor for years, and I saw firsthand what they're able to accomplish. So I try to lend my support wherever I can.
It's interesting, too, in times like this, Rob, because the needs go up and the people's ability to donate goes down. So it's a double-edged sword, and it's a double whammy for organizations like CORE, really for so many charity organizations. But Steve's right. Once you ask people, all you have to do is make that ask, and people are willing, if they're able to do so, to make the donations. And you said in the past, and I find this remarkable, but that you wouldn't be the person you are if not for a place like CORE Services.
That's right. That's right. I mean, they were certainly seminal in helping raise me, just because by nature of the relationship that I had with them, and obviously with my father. But I saw firsthand how it was affecting other people and the community at large. So, look, the truth is that with all this crowdsourcing now, I think people are really getting a good idea of how just putting in $5, $10, $2 makes a difference. We did a lot of fundraising over the past 4 months for different organizations, and I would say 90% of the donations that would come in would be $10, $15, $20, $5, and that was really heartwarming because you realize that these are people who are struggling, and they probably don't have $5 to give or $10 to give or $20 to give, and yet they do anyway because their hearts are so big and they care so much about the community. So those are the people I'm trying to reach out to now and to respectfully request, to consider to consider CORE if you're considering giving.
Yeah, no, and it's honestly, I love this. I was talking to a friend of ours who is one of the main people involved with the Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and to me that CORE is a very similar sort of thing in that it's, you know, excuse me, it's getting people, you know, people who are most in need and younger people. Who are just need that little hand up. I remember, I forget the young man's name, but he had a speech issue, and there he was speaking at one of the golf outings, and basically doing a little bit of stand up comedy, and it was amazing to see where he had come from and to realize what his life would have been without the intervention of CORE. So this is, you know, your heart aches for people who. Save but for that one handout to make a difference, you know, their lives could change dramatically. And so in this time, you know, so many things are now set in motion, Rob, with the lack of funding that will have dramatic effects for years to come. That, again, as you say, if people do have the wherewithal to do it, it does make a difference. We've seen the results of what CORE does.
Yes. Yeah, and it's really it really is just coming down to having those personal experiences and seeing kids like that who, yeah, he had a severe stutter and speech impediment. He was riddled with anxiety, couldn't speak in front of one person, let alone 10. And within a few years of support, he was able to stand in front of, I don't know how many people were in that room, 300.
Yeah.
And did a routine.
Yeah.
I mean, and you really see, like, when it comes down to those personal stories, like, they're doing that with hundreds of kids, if not thousands, all over the city. And you look at somebody like that and you say, wow, you know, what track was he on, and what track is he on now? And that's what CORE can provide, is that track to the future.
So how do people give? How do they donate? What's the best way to do it?
Well, let's go to coreservices.org, and you can read a little bit more about what Core does, and I think that's important before you give money, just to recognize how essential they are, and there's a donation page right there.
Okay. Yeah, so coreservices.org/give if you want to go right to the donation page. The number is 215-342-7660, 215-342-7660. And they have announced, Rob, the golf outing for next year. So if we're on track and in a better place a year from now, it'll be May 24th, and it'll be at the Philly Cricket Club next year. So that's something you might want to set the date aside now, May 24th, 2021.
And we'll make sure we post all this on our social media and on our website as well. So we'll push that message for you, Rob. But what's going on with Mystic Quest? You guys had to shut down production, we know, earlier this year.
Yeah, we were in the first week of shooting, and we had to shut down that Wednesday or Thursday, and so we were able to shoot an episode in quarantine, which was great, but now we're just trying to figure out how we can get back to work.
Do you have a projected date when things? Because I know some of the movies are going back into production, and some of the projects are moving along. But do you have a projected date where the show resumes?
You know, everybody seems to think we have a date. I had 12 conversations that start with, okay, we have a plan, but this could change at any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any moment.
And so all of those movies that talk about going back, I've watched them just get pushed and pushed and pushed and changed. And, you know, I just don't know how or why this became a political issue, like why people won't wear masks. I just truly don't understand.
I don't either.
We're watching it surge in California, and we had flattened the curve, and that just got thrown into the garbage. So
hey,
we'll see.
Does this the scenario that we're in right now? Has it caused you to have any creative ideas for shows, plot lines, or anything along those lines?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I've just been sitting here writing.
Yeah.
That's all we've been doing. So we had to throw out the entire second season of Mythic Quest because it just doesn't make sense anymore, considering how different the world is.
Oh wow.
So we rewrote the entire season. We finished up with that. Sonny got picked up for another 2 more years. So we're gonna go write that, and that's just gonna kind of write itself, I think.
Is there comedy to be mined from? I mean, certainly there's comedy to be mined, especially for a show like Sonny, but Mythic Quest too, with social movements, with Black Lives Matter, with pandemics. You know, how do you dance on that delicately, be respectful, but also look for some comedic opportunities?
Yeah, the same way we always have, because we have been swimming in dangerous waters on Sonny for a really long time, and that's kind of the point of the show, and I think people understand that. So the audience gets what we're going for. I have a lot of people ask me, like, hey, how do you get away with some of the stuff you get away with when other shows don't seem to? And, well, A, I don't think we're really getting away with anything. I think that the way we approach it, which is an eye towards the satire, just the hypocrisy of all different facets of American culture, that the audience gets that. And they understand what we're trying to do. And though the characters may be misogynists and homophobic and racist sociopaths, it's very clear that the show is not.
Yeah.
You're looking at it through the prism of these crazy people.
There was a video that John Cleese put back out. He'd done it a couple of decades ago, and it was concerning, you know, they're trying to get Fawlty Towers taken off. And Fawlty Towers is the character that he played on the show is a complete indictment of people who are bigoted and so on and so forth. And, you know, he's saying, can't you see the point of this? You guys were sort of always, you know, that was always the mission, is through these characters realize, you know, the absurdity of a lot of the viewpoints. One of the things I have to say is, and I've gone to it, this is a well I go to constantly, the bloopers, the outtakes of every season of It's Always Sunny has some of the best stuff. And one in particular is, and I'd forgotten about this episode, you're on this this exercise bike. You know exactly what I'm talking about, with this sort of phallus that jumps up and sort of is supposed to help in the exercise process, and you can't keep it together.
It's a motivating tool, yeah.
I mean, is there any one moment in particular out of all of the all of that stuff, that you know, bloopers and outtakes, that stands out as a moment where you felt you would never regain composure?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up that episode for many reasons, but one of them being that particular episode, I think it's one of our highest rated episodes on IMDb, and I think it was one of the episodes that got the biggest response, certainly from the LGBTQ community, positively.
Yeah.
Truly positively, because my character comes out of the closet in that episode and stays out of the closet. And so on one hand, you have this like incredibly profane and ridiculous implement of comedy in the episode that really, if we handled it one way, could have gone sideways. And yet, it's still, in the end, people were able to understand what we were going for.
Right.
And I think it really spoke to a lot of people. And I had, I don't know, 10 or 15,000 messages at that night of that episode
that's wild.
Really spoke to people, which is wild.
Yeah,
I would love to see outtakes from the Time's Up episode, and and anybody who's never watched an episode of It's Always Sunny, watch that episode in particular. It's hilarious. I would love to see. I when Dee comes into the conference room going Time's Up, Time's Up, Time's Up. I would love to see how many takes did that take, if you recall.
Well. Yeah, I mean, we just thought it was, if we were going to do an episode about that, about how this toxic male behavior is finally getting called out, that there's probably no one on television who's more toxically male than these four three characters.
Yeah.
And that D would really like take full advantage of that, notwithstanding like recognizing her own toxicity, which does come to light in that particular episode. And that scene, which is just her entrance, she was practicing that for like a week. She read the script that would just come into the like living room, like when I was sitting there with my kids, and she'd be like, "Tabs, tabs." And I was like, "Is this real? Like, am I getting called out right now? Are you going to call the press?" Or is just...
Well, can I ask a question about the Falcon Punch part of that episode? What did you guys use? What sort of apparatus did you guys, or are you that strong?
Oh, to lift her in the air? No, that's me. I lift. Yeah, no.
It's just an amazing display of agility.
Yeah. I think I lifted her up about at least 6.5 feet in the air
with one arm. Yeah, amazing.
Rob, not that you need my praise or our praise, but the quarantine episode of Mythic Quest really was great. It was really touching, and I don't know if it was difficult for you guys to write or put together, but the way that you guys handled it and took this show about male toxicity and turned it into something that was really touching and sweet. So nice work.
Well, if you think that I or we as a community don't need you to tell us how great we are, then you're not paying attention. Yeah.
That's one thing that's been sadly missing in your industry is accolades and awards.
Yeah, it really truly is like the reason for the entertainment industry to exist. It's just a bunch of people all over the world who were like, I really need to get people's not only attention, but praise.
Yeah,
okay. So, anytime you're willing to give it, I'm willing to take it.
Okay.
All right. So when I was vacationed last year, I went to like Grand Canyon, Zion, and I had a guide, right? So we hired this guide, and he was a Mormon who lived in Utah, and he is a huge, huge fan of all of it. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So when he found out I was from Philadelphia, he was like, "Oh man, I love the show," and blah. And I was like, "Well, I happen to be in a couple of those episodes," and I had just even. Said that he knows every episode by title, which is I thought amazing. So I just want to let you know that you have a huge contingent of fans in Mormon, Utah.
Wow,
you never know where they are. I mean, over 15 years, it's funny. Like how many people? I think I mentioned this to you guys before. Like how many people writers we have who were not allowed to watch the show? They were in grade school when Sunny came out, and yet if people were in their 30s or 40s when Sunny came out, they're now in their 50s. So we're spanning generation. We might as well span the entire religious or socioeconomic spectrum.
Sure, sure.
Hey Rob, this might seem like an absolute pipe dream, especially the way the world is now. But once things do normal out, and maybe years from now, do you ever see a day where you guys take the show on the road again like you did with the Nightman and all that? I mean, because you guys have kids now and it's a whole other ballgame. But, God, that was so special and awesome. you know?
It was really fun. And it was like our chance to be like rock stars for a couple of weeks. And we because this was also like when we did that, which is, I think, coming up on 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
We just didn't have a direct interface with the audience. I mean, even social media wasn't as big as it is now. And so you never know when you're doing a TV show if people are really watching it or what their response is. So all of a sudden you go out there to a live auditorium and everybody is not only singing along with songs, but mouthing the words of dialogue through an entire 24-minute episode of television.
Yeah.
And so that was just so eye-opening to us and charged us up. And then we were ready to do it again, and then everybody started having kids, and we're like, well, we can't bring these infants. Like, it's not fun to bring infants to a
rock
concert.
Yeah, right.
So then, like, traveling around the country with, like, infants, that's lame. So, but now they're all getting older. And so it might be the kind of thing where we might do this show for another, I don't know, decade.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, these kids are gone. They're out of my house.
Yes.
Then I'm free again.
Freedom.
There you go. Yeah, that's every impetus to be an empty nester is to get that tour back out on the road again.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we did talk about, and I don't know when we were going to do it, but we had some interest in, which is wild, is talking to the Link.
Okay.
There was interest from the Link that we would perform at the Link.
Oh my God. Which,
and we were talking to them, and then obviously things got a little haywire last year, but we were planning something.
Wow.
And people seem to think we can pack that place, which
would it be again the Nightman, or did you have something else in mind?
Well, the Nightman is 12 years old. I think we'd have to update that a little bit, but yeah, I think it would be a spectacular. If we're gonna do it in Lincoln Financial Field, then it better be spectacular.
Yeah, Kevin Hart did it. You guys could do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Guns N' Roses did it. Metallica. You can do that.
All right. Well, listen. The main thing that we want to get from this conversation is the fact that Cora needs help. This is an essential organization. They're having trouble. And as Rob had said, you know, if you are in that giving position, and even if it's $5 or $10, whatever, if you are going to give, he'd like you to consider Cora. It was essential in his life and so many other people. And by the way, so some people are texting. I'm already seeing donations come in that we're seeing via our texts. But it's Cora, Cora, Cora services.org, or you can just go to PrestonSteve.com. The link is right there. It'll take you right to it, and you can donate. So we urge you to do that if you certainly can. Well, listen, man, thanks for the call. We'll do what we can to get the word out and obviously, you know, stay safe and give our best to the family and crew. All right.
Thank you. You guys are the best. And hopefully I'll see you in person sometime soon.
Yep. That'd be great. Have a great holiday weekend. Thank you. Rob McElhenney, guys.
Yeah!
Take care, Rob. That show's so great. We were just when Casey had mentioned the Falcon Punch scene, yeah, he was talking about where Rob reaches down to Caitlin and grabs her by the crotch and lifts her one arm up into the air. It's hilarious.
There's an exchange in that where Charlie's talking about an uncle who molested him, and he's talking to the person who's running the thing, and he goes, he didn't really fully, you know, he didn't fully molest me. And then the rest of the crew's going, oh, no, he got in there.
Wow. It's such a great show. It's wrong on so many levels in a great way. All right, we have got to take a break, so let's do that. We'll come back in a second. The Bizarre File, and I think we've got some fireworks coming up, actually, live on the air this morning. So if you haven't had enough of that
yet. I'm sure there's none of that going on.
We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
In 1776, our founding fathers told England to suck it. In 2020, 93.3 WMMR is commemorating this with a 4th of July weekend, because frankly, we miss live music. And since we've got a long weekend, we're raiding the MM archives, pulling out the best live material we've got, and featuring it every hour. So crank up your Alexa, our app on your phone, or the radio as loud as it'll go, and celebrate our 4th of July weekend.
Sponsored by Hyundai City of Burlington. Shop South Jersey's favorite, HyundaiCity.com.
93.3 WMMR, playing everything that rocks, live.
bizarre.
WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. Let's get right into some stories here, gang. A man who said he accidentally fatally shot his girlfriend early Saturday stated that she told him a revolver was not loaded and to click it at her.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that's what happened. The man pulled the trigger once. Nothing happened. The second pull fired a round into the upper body of Ashley Murphy. She died less than 90 minutes later. The boyfriend's name has not been released yet and was redacted from the report. He has not been charged. The boyfriend reported the shooting 2:40 a.m. inside a recreational vehicle trailer. Deputies found the woman conscious and
in she pain. Verified the story?
I guess. She was in pain. She did not make a statement about how she was shot, but a deputy applied pressure to the wound. Paramedics took her to the hospital where she died at 4 a.m. A deputy said the boyfriend was sitting on the ground in the area of the driveway and was in obvious emotional distress. He told deputies that he had arrived home after being at work for 5 days. He said that he and Murphy were in bed together. The revolver was on the nightstand next to the bed. Murphy told him the revolver was not loaded and directed him to, quote, click it at her. The reason he said his girlfriend suggested this was redacted in the report. So he did so, and the second time it fired, and he is cooperating with deputies, and the investigation is continuing. Wow.
My gosh.
That's just messed up.
So stupid.
How about this? A woman recently sought medical attention in southern China after hearing a constant scratching noise in her ear.
No.
You can guess where this is going. A report said that doctors found a cockroach had burrowed into her ear.
No.
I thought you were going to say raccoon.
While she was asleep, doctors said the insect would burrow into her eardrum if it was not removed in time.
Jesus.
The doctor adds that people should use insect repellents frequently to keep bugs out of their homes, particularly in the summertime when it's very hot outside.
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want a tiki-tiki-nago.
Also, if you think that you have a bug in your ear, do not attempt to remove it by yourself. But seek medical help.
Use a firecracker.
You could further.
Yeah, right.
That'll get that thing out of there.
Get it out real good.
But you could further agitate the bug and cause an infection. Well, this is an uninvited guest. An 8-foot, 9-inch alligator was spotted on Tuesday at the front door of a home in Tampa, Florida. The alligator was also missing two limbs. The homeowners called Croc Encounters to come capture the alligator and remove it. It's thought that the missing limbs were due to an encounter with another alligator. The animal will have...
So how was it moving along? Was it one leg up front and one leg in the back? Was it walking on its hind legs?
I didn't find out. I'm hoping it's, you know, like opposite.
Yeah.
One leg on the right side and one arm, if you will, on the left side so he could maybe get around. But I don't know. Ooh. The animal is going to have a new permanent home at Croc Encounters, by the way.
He just showed up to the door?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So he was looking for help. Apparently,
I am missing two limbs. I'm finding it very difficult to get around. Could I get inside and call an Uber?
Yeah, he just wanted to get a lift somewhere. Yeah. Well, it seems you never know where a lost shoe or some foot apparel might end up. A man from Quebec, Canada, was recently preparing to throw out his orphaned left hockey skate 7 years after losing its mate, but then he found the right skate. It was hanging from a sign out on the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did it get there?
Jeff Meldrum said that the last time he saw the right skate was about 7 years ago when he had to leave an ice rink in a hurry after his son, who was 4 at the time, fell and injured his chin. He told the CBC News that he had only worn the skates a few times and held out hope that he might find the missing one eventually. He says recently he was driving on a road with his now 11-year-old son when he spotted a familiar-looking skate hanging from a signpost at the end of a driveway.
It can't be.
Upon investigating, he found that it was his missing skate.
They must have embraced.
The owner of the house said that he had found the skate 7 years ago and had tried to find the owner in various ways before forgetting about the skate in the garage. He recently had a garage sale and realized the skate was the only item that she hadn't sold, and Meldrum happened to drive by and see
his
missing
skate. Wow. It's just amazing.
Isn't that wild? And here's one, another story of something being found. A California scuba diver known as Merman Mike.
That's like Elevator George.
Or Scuba Steve.
Who recently plunged into the Sacramento River was able to recover a lost ring worth $17,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Mike Pelley, who has a YouTube channel, says that he was approached by a man named Bill Fitty, who had heard about his underwater exploits.
My name's Fitty. Bill Fitty.
And his help and wanted his help to find a lost item. Well, Pelley was able to find the lost ring on his second attempt. Fitty said that he wants to reward Pelley with $1,500 to buy an underwater metal detector for future dives.
Wow.
So, Philly.
I'd watch a show called Fitty and Pelley.
Fitty and Pelley are a new partnership. And there you go. That is what I have in your bizarre file this morning. Our next guest, actually, this happened during a call-in segment. We were just talking about fireworks and purchasing them, and it was at the onset of when all of the fireworks were going off in the city, and people, they had not yet become a full-on nuisance yet, or at least they were starting to when we first talked to Robbie, who's on the line. But Robbie works at Celebration Fireworks.
They're great.
And Casey was like, can you come on with us and shoot some fireworks off sometime? So he said yes. And so we're following through on that, and it's the, you know, we're right on the edge of the holiday weekend, so.
And everybody's, well, we assume everybody, no, that, well, we can't verify that everyone's up in the area, but we're trying to be respectful.
Most people. It's yeah. not, you know, the
Unless
crack.
You're a vampire.
It's not the crack of dawn, yeah. So you should hopefully be awake by now. So we're going to have, I don't even know where Robbie's shooting these off. Let's go find out. Hey, Robbie!
Hey, what's going on?
It's Robbie from Celebration Fireworks, everybody. How about that? Nice to talk to you. Where now you're gonna do a small fireworks display for us, and I'll explain to people. Yes, we know we're on the radio.
Yeah.
We just want to hear the fireworks, but we are also going to be able to see them via our FaceTime. We're doing a live Facebook Live. Marissa, is that how we're doing this, or FaceTiming it? And we're going to record it, and we're going to play it back later on, so you'll be able to see.
There you go.
So where are you anyway, Robbie?
We are in Hazleton right now, one of the coal mines.
Wow. In a coal mine?
In Hazleton?
Yeah, for their 4th of July show. Saturday.
So you're doing it for the town of Hazleton for the celebration this weekend. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, yep. So you're in a space where this is all good to go, and shooting off the fireworks of this size are a regular, you know, it's you're in the right spot, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done it before.
Okay. So what are we going to be seeing and hearing, Robbie?
You're going to be seeing a half chain of 3-inch salutes, a 12-inch firebomb, and a machine gun cake.
That all sounds good to me. Yeah.
All right. A 12-inch the firebomb, you said?
Yes.
All right. So
12-inch firebomb.
So 12-inch, meaning that that's the is that the diameter or the is that not the diameter of or is it the diameter of the shell?
That's the diameter of the container. We put 10 gallons of gasoline in it to lift charge.
10 gallons of gas?
What? No.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Sweet mother effer. So,
These things are so more
elaborate
than I had ever thought.
I thought we were getting a couple of backyard thingies. Okay.
10 gallons of gas.
No. We went all out.
Oh, yeah. That's unbelievable.
So what does, in the night sky, what is the fireball? How would you describe that for people?
It looks like a giant nuke went off.
A giant nuke went off.
All right.
And so will it be red as per the name, Red Fireball?
Yeah, it'll be red.
Okay. And then the salute, we know what that is. That's just a big bang. I mean, it's those flashes that you see that's usually at the end.
Yeah, we got a half chain of them, so it's 10 or 5 of them.
Okay, and so that, a full chain would be 10 then?
A full chain, 20, a half chain.
20.
Okay.
A full chain is 20, a half chain is 5.
I don't know.
It's something like that. Who knows? It doesn't mean the math doesn't need to work out.
You know what? Yeah. The guy that created this doesn't have many fingers.
That's
anymore,
right.
So that's what
he couldn't
happened.
Count. Yeah.
Yep. They got it's blown off by a firecracker. And then what is the machine gun round? Describe that.
It's like a 29-second kick that just sounds like a machine gun going off, but really loud.
Okay.
I love it.
That's
excellent. I'm biting at the bit here to hear this.
It looks really windy where you are, Robbie. We're looking at the video of you.
Yeah, it's pretty windy up here.
What kind of an issue does that cause for people who are putting off these, you know, these commercial size fireworks?
Basically, it all depends on the crowd. If it was at night, it would just be all the stuff that would happen. But as long as you're sitting away from where the smoke is, you're good.
Okay. All right, well, Robbie, if you're ready to go, we're set to see and hear this.
All right, give me 2 seconds.
You got it, man. All right, so we'll listen in, and we'll obviously hear the reports. We'll hear them when they launch, and then when they will report.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay, so we're watching the video. The audio sucks because we just saw a gigantic explosion.
It looked like that was huge. What the hell was that?
I think that was the 10 gallons of gas.
Oh my God.
It was a huge fireball. Is that everything?
Yeah, that was the fireball.
Dude, we couldn't even hear it, but it looked like it looked like A-bomb level.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
So the fire that we saw on the ground, that was the 10 gallons of gas that hurled that thing up into the air?
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So for a full show, Robbie, how many gallons of gas are you guys burning?
It's anywhere from like 20 to 30 gallons.
20 to 30 gallons. Wow. Okay.
Was it loud for you guys?
Yeah, we have a 12-inch, a 6-inch, and a 4-inch firebomb. It all depends what people want, how much room we have. And
wow.
There'll be multiples of them, not just one.
I mean, it was actually, on this end, it was sort of what we were seeing and what we were hearing were completely opposite things.
Yeah, we just heard mild little thumps through the phone, unfortunately. But the video was pretty amazing that we just saw.
That's crazy.
Was that everything, or have you shot off the other ones?
That was everything.
That was everything. Okay. Well,
light up some matches?
That was pretty cool looking, man. So when is your show that you're doing there?
When's the show here?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. At 9:45 is shoot time.
Okay. And so let me look at the weather forecast. Tomorrow looks good. So you guys are good to go as far as the weather is concerned. When do you start setting up for a show like you're doing tomorrow? You probably don't do it overnight because you don't want to leave that stuff out, right?
They're starting set up right now for up here, but they'll leave. None of the product will be out here. The product will be brought tomorrow.
Okay.
So usually it's a show, like a 4th of July show. Usually we're there at like 7 a.m.
Okay.
To start set up.
All right. Wow. And if there's threat of rain, do you guys wait or do you put up tents over that stuff or how does that handle so those things don't get wet?
So basically, if it's raining, we'll put tarps or saran wrap over everything and we'll just shoot through the tarps or saran wrap.
You just shoot through the tarps?
Shoot through the tarps.
I mean, I guess it will.
It'll
blast
go through
it.
Yeah.
Well, from what we saw, it blast through a concrete.
Yeah. That was pretty incredible.
How long will the display last tomorrow night?
How long did you just play, Katie? 18 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. That's a good run.
That sounds about right. Man, so that's pretty incredible. Now, with Celebration Fireworks, it's in where are you guys located? Because you're right now in Hazleton, but where are you guys located?
That's located in Slatington.
Slatington is off the Northeast Extension, right? Right before the tunnel?
Yeah.
So if you're heading up 476 on the northeast extension, you'll drive past Slatington.
Let me ask you this, Robbie. What would it cost so number one, like the display you guys are going to do tomorrow, how much does that cost a community?
The show that's going off tomorrow is $25,000.
$25,000. Okay, that's what I figured. Do you guys, what's the smallest show? I know the owners are there with you, Chris and Scott, I believe. Yeah. What is the cheapest that they'll put on a show?
What's the cheapest show we'll put on? $3,000. $3,000 is
$3,000.
It's not bad.
How long does that last?
We do wedding shoots. Wedding shoots are usually 10 minutes long.
10 minutes long for $3,000 for a wedding on the most special day of your life. If you could just blow up some stuff, that'd make it extra special.
Yeah. Skip the reception.
Yeah.
Just get the fireworks and have everybody come by.
We'll set the doves free and then
blow
them up.
We do a lot of weddings. We do all the ones down at Philadelphia Waterworks on the river. We do them there. We do them in New Hope on the river.
Okay.
$3,000. If you pull together with a couple friends.
You know, we do a charity food drive in South Philadelphia every year. And we're looking for some entertainment. Are you guys busy in November?
For the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yes. We'll talk, man.
We could do something with that.
We talked about doing that last year, did we not? Why did we not do that?
Well, we didn't know Robbie.
Now we know Robbie's our best bud.
And these are uncertain times.
They are. All right. So, by the way, their website for Celebration Fireworks is Cellfire, C-E-L-F-I-R-E. And if that's within your budget or if you and the neighbors want to chip in. These guys will come and do a professional show for you, as long as you have permission and everything.
Go away, your stupid little thing.
Yeah.
yeah, we do that. Check us out on YouTube, on Facebook. There's videos. We do pyro musicals. We do shows choreographed to music.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Excellent.
Pyro musicals. That's cool. And you do like state like dramas as well, like Death of a Salesman with fireworks.
Yeah. 12 Angry Men.
Oh, yeah.
With fireworks.
I love it. All right, Robbie, dude, this is really cool. Thank you for setting that up, and, wow, and thank Chris and Scott for us, okay?
Yeah, definitely let us know about Camp Out for Hunger.
That's, we will.
Be part of.
That's awesome. We
excellent,
definitely will.
For sure. All right, thank you. It's Robbie. Yay! From Celebration Fireworks. I know you couldn't hear it.
Couldn't
and
hear
listen,
it, yeah.
it was really cool, though, from the video that we watched. We'll record that and we'll show it to you. But this gigantic,
like a
flame,
yeah,
column shot up in the air. And that wasn't even the fireworks. That's just the launch mechanism to get that 12-inch, essentially like a basketball filled with explosives.
It that's almost crazy. Looked like 10 gallons of gas exploding, which is what it was.
Up into the air. Wow. Okay. That was, yeah, I wish we could have heard that. You know,
this is what you heard.
Here's the difference between cell phone technology, as great as it has become. Yeah. One of the things that it doesn't do is it doesn't allow loud noise longer. We did it years and years and years ago down at Citizens Bank Park when they would do the Phillies. Or no, it was it the Vet? It might have been that far back.
Anyhow,
we had them launch one of the fireworks for us, and we could hear it clearly. Boom!
Yeah.
And then you started hearing the car alarms around the neighborhood go off after they did it, too.
It's the nature of the technology. So what makes the conversation and what it's used most obviously for, it's made that better. It's also crushed out the stuff that we want to do, like most everyone wants to do, which is set off 10 gallons of gas and blow it up.
They didn't think about the fireworks.
I know. They never think about the fireworks.
I know. All right. Well, anyhow, thanks to Robbie. That was cool. And thank you to Celebration Fireworks. By the way, we have a new Daily Rush video that's up. It's called Gushers and Squirters.
Oh, what's that about?
Well, it says Peter North is back with some new mouth-watering products.
Gotcha.
So you can watch that now at PrestonandSteve.com. It is sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And also check out the birthday videos I made for Casey.
Yay!
Because his birthday is on Sunday, right?
Saturday.
That's great. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today's lesson question, our prize will be an Italian lover's gift basket from Pastine. And I think this is, we'll do a food-based question. Well, sort of. What kind of chicken do they breed on Antarctica? 215-263-WMMR. What kind of chicken do they breed on Antarctica? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. You had to have been listening to hear, or to have heard it, and to answer. So we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by your local Deeds and Watson Real Philly Delis. They are open for takeout. You can taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com. Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kanye West filling Kim Kardashian's sprawling bathroom with exotic flowers, plants, and more for her 39th birthday. West says he wanted to give Kim a tropical rainforest and is happy to report that her wounds are already healing from the leopard attack. In a video posted to Instagram, Brian Austin Green is seen getting very flirty with Courtney Stodden in a hot tub. Green says that things in that hot tub got really physical once Stoddard stopped trying to drink the water. And finally, just days after retracting a compliment about Joss Whedon, Ray Fisher, who played Cyborg in the Justice League, is now saying Whedon was abusive and unprofessional. Fisher says Whedon would routinely light his cigarettes off the outlet in Cyborg's ass. It's got to be demeaning. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we will see if somebody knows the answer to the question this morning. What kind of chickens do they breed on Antarctica? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Chris for the answer. Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
All right, bud. What kind of chickens do they breed in Antarctica?
They breed frozen chickens.
Frozen chickens. You got it, Chris. Hang on. For the correct answer, we are going to set you up with an Italian Lover's gift basket from Pastine Home Cooking. Never tasted so good. Pastine, leading importer of authentic Italian ingredients since 1874, makes it easy to prepare delicious meals at home with a variety of pasta cuts, tomato sauces, grated cheeses, and more. You can shop Pastine at your local grocery store and have it delivered by visiting pastine.com. So, you played this song yesterday. Yeah. Nick keeps bobbing his head. Why?
Because he liked it, that song. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great song. It's called Busy Earning by a group called Jungle.
Okay.
It's a cool video. And
it goes way back, right?
I like it, this song.
Yeah. It goes way back?
Yeah. It's not like new. I mean, okay. It's probably...
It's catchy, though.
2014, it says on there. Okay. All right, music news time. Let's go.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, I have a few stories. This one I just got, so I didn't get a chance to really digest all the information yet. But following on from the announcement of their rescheduled tours, Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer have confirmed their full U.S. 2021 trek on the Hella Mega Tour.
All right, I like that.
This is one rare moment where I was actually going to go to a concert this summer. Mm-hmm. My friends were coming in from out of town.
Yeah, I know.
We were going to go, and so...
Next year.
They're going to do Philadelphia next year, August 20th. The old date was August 29th, so it's in the ballpark. And it will be in the ballpark. Hey, it's going to be Citizens Bank Park.
You're good, man. You're good.
So they will, as far as the ticket information goes, I don't really know as of yet. I don't give
an F.
I'm not really sure as of yet what the story is.
Give a f-
Here's some info, Preston.
Thank you. Message posted across all of the band's pages. Read, your existing tickets are good for the rescheduled date, so hold on to them.
They are no longer good, and you will not get a refund.
You'll receive an email directly from your ticketing company allowing you to request a refund if you can't make the new date.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a Friday?
Yeah, it is, buddy.
There you go, man. It's a year in advance.
Yep, I like it. All right, so.
So pick out your outfit tonight.
I will. I'll set that aside, put in a little plastic baggie, and have it ready for next year.
A little ribbon on it.
Evanescence has released a new song called The Game Is Over, their latest single from their upcoming album, The Bitter Truth. And according to Billboard, Amy Lee reveals that the song is all about being tired of trying to fit in with the boundaries of what's socially acceptable. She said the song is about being sick of the facade.
Sick of the facade.
The disguises we wear.
Stupid, sick facade.
For others to make them feel comfortable. The inside feelings being so different than what we show on the outside to fit within the boundaries of what's socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable.
Or what's not going to make you unpleasant or too weird to be around.
Mm.
She said, the game over is a promise to myself and out loud that I'm going to be more of my real inner self on the outside. Not lock her up because she can't be contained anymore. It's also a prayer to become better. To not feel so messed up, locked up, and hurt inside.
So it's a workout routine.
Yeah, that too. It's called The Bitter Truth. The Game Is Over is the new the workout routine. Let's see. Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium, and In Flames have rescheduled the dates on their metal tour.
Sick!
Of the year 2021. And they will be planning to come to Camden, New Jersey at the BB&T Pavilion on July 26th. And if you want details on if you're a ticket holder and you can't make the show, there is a refund and all tickets will be honored for the new rescheduled date. So you can go to livenation.com and get the information on that. United Stations Media Networks and Storic Media Podcast Network will present what's called the Rock for Relief Benefit Concert, supporting Feeding America's COVID-19 Response Fund. And it's going to be July 3rd at 8 p.m., so that's tomorrow, and again at 11 p.m. Rock for Relief will be hosted by Lou Brutus and Ricky Rackman, with talent interviews conducted by Alice Cooper and Joe Satriani.
Who's Lou?
The lineup of the performances include headliner Corey Taylor, alongside Gavin Rossdale, George Thorogood, Don Felder, Miles Kennedy, Lizzie Hale, and Joe Hottinger, Filter, Lisa Loeb.
Lisa Loeb?
And then, Steve, it says B.J. Thomas as one of the names.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, B.J. Thomas?
First of all, I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
And second of all, I can't believe if he is alive that he would be
part of the show.
Part of the show. It's got to be somebody else named B.J. Thomas.
Head.
No, he's alive.
And he's doing the show?
He's 77 years old. That's got to be him.
Hey, y'all fans of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah. You like that soundtrack? We got B.J. Thomas.
Peter Frampton as well. So, yeah, sure enough, Nick pulled it up. He is still touring.
What the hell?
B.J. Thomas. Scroll down a little bit because I want to see what he looks like. He looks good.
He looks good, yeah.
I thought it was Burt Bacharach who sang that song.
He wrote it.
Oh, okay.
He wrote it, yeah.
And B.J. will be in Branson on October 17th.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy's feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, and they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun.
So I wonder if he and Corey Taylor will sing a song too.
I think they will. I think they're probably very similar.
Peter Frampton's going to be on this too.
You all know Buckethead.
The
Buckethead, would you come out and join us? Raindrops keep falling on my head.
It'd be raindrops keep falling on my bucket.
Yeah. My bucket's wet.
The Rock for Relief log on links are rockforrelief.net and or youtube.com/storicmedia. Now I feel bad. Don't you hate it when you thought somebody was dead and, you know.
Yeah, what if he's listening right
you
now?
You haven't been returning his calls because you thought he was dead.
It's like when Spinal Tap was listening to the radio and they were, that goes under the Where Are They Now file. And they were playing in that town that night.
Everyone thinks that I'm dead.
Well, if you want to find out more about B.J. Thomas, who is very much alive, bjthomas.com, or give him a call, 251-273-2090.
Or watch the five-night series on National Geographic.
It's okay. It's on his Instagram account. It has the phone number.
Oh, really?
It says you can contact the front desk.
I'm not dead.
And he has 628 followers.
And thank God.
He's trying. That's good.
Thank God for Craig Ligons, because he also told me that B.J. Thomas sang this part.
Show me that smile.
Ooh, show me that
shut
smile.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
Dude, he's never wrong about stuff like that.
I hear it. Sounds like
him.
Nick is looking up the information on Growing Pains. Does it have anything on it? Yeah, theme song.
B.J. Mother Effing Thomas.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wait a minute, and some of the duets, it changed over the seasons. Dusty Springfield sang with B.J. Thomas on season 4. I mean, she's a legendary
absolutely.
Singer. Absolutely. Now, she's dead, I know for sure.
Yeah, she better be.
They'd redo it each season?
You know what? Some shows will do that. If you go back and on YouTube, it has the all of the Brady Bunch themes were different every year. Every season. Just slightly different.
Just a little bit different.
Tool did it in the second season.
Tool was the second season. It was their motivation for prison sex, which they eventually wrote. B.J. Thomas and Jennifer Warnes. I remember that name.
Yeah. She did Love Lift.
Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong.
And also, she did seasons 2, 3, 5, and part of 7.
And she did I've Had the Time of My Life with Bill Medley.
Okay. And who else besides B.J. and D.J. and Dusty CJ. Springfield? Joey Chimay, Jim Haas, John Joyce, and George Merrill.
Well, B.J. became too expensive.
On season 6 and part of 7 and the series finale.
Then they just had one guy whistling.
We're going to have to go through and find what other famous people sang, because what was the one... There's a woman that we found, and Craig will probably text in, who's sang the Jeffersons theme song.
From CNC Music Factory?
No, because it was well before that. Right. She was from another TV show. She was from, where's it? JJ.
Good Times.
She was on Good Times.
Oh, yeah, it's the neighbor. Yes.
And
Jeanette
Dubois? And she ended up singing the theme song. No, she was the neighbor on Good Times. And she sang the theme song for the Jeffersons. So you would have to look up Good Times. Yeah, Janet Dubois?
No, Janet Dubois was the sister.
I'm confused.
I'm reading it right here. It says Janet Dubois, who played the vivacious neighbor on Good Times and composed and sang the theme song for Jeffersons.
That wrong.
So I bet there's a lot of these that we don't know
about
as far as who sang the theme song. So you know what? Little project for next show. What?
Well, no, Craig is, unfortunately, he's 40 seconds behind us in this conversation.
So then you get Janet Dubois.
Yep.
All right.
And he even spelled it right and everything.
One last story. Sammy Hagar and Rick Springfield's new line of rum has hit the market with three new flavors, including the brand. Introducing the brand. That was my fault. All told.
Cat crushing.
There are three new rums on the market. A classic white rum, the cola spiced rum, and this one sounds interesting, the redhead macadamia nut rum.
Macadamia.
I'm driving my mama crazy. Macadamia nut. And sell for around $25, $35 a bottle. The two rock veterans have been pals for years. Springfield scored a top 10 hit in 1981 with a cover of Sammy's I've Done Everything for You. The pair has joined forces to relaunch one of Hagar's spirit lines, which offers a collection of flavored rums called Sammy's Beach Bar Rum. The brand, which was started by Hagar, has now taken on Springfield as a partner. Sammy's made a killing in the alcohol business.
That's actually very generous and very nice to bring Springfield in on that.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I got in music news for you this morning. All right. We're going to take a break. When we get back, a couple of things. Giving away our Word of the Week prize. We're checking in with Brent Porsche, who is at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. He's going to do Pierre's show from there today. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Up with Preston and Steve, spend your work day with Pierre and Jackson, your evenings with Jackie and Brent, and weekends annoying the neighbors by cranking us up to 11. But why stop there?
Anybody know what she's talking about?
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop now. Clothes, hats, mugs, clocks, puzzles, baby and kids stuff, even a Pierre bobblehead, and more. They make great gifts, too. So get shopping at WMMR.com now. All the merch that rocks.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Where are we going to talk to Brent Porsche from on the board here? Which one is it?
Well, normally it would be this one.
I don't know. We haven't really tested anything out. Brent, can you hear me? Brent Porsche? Nope.
No, I have to assign it to something.
I heard him talking earlier in this Q speaker that we have here in the studio, and I figured we were going to probably go to him, but I don't know.
17
it says.
It's not assigned anything. What?
22.
Okay.
So Hike.
Hang on a second here.
Okay,
he's got a hit. All right, let's try this.
Atlantic City.
Brent?
Hello.
Hey! Hi, Brent.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, bud?
I am doing wonderfully. We're here at the Hard Rock down in Atlantic City. It is beautiful down here today.
I'll bet, man. It's going to be it's gorgeous here, so it's got to be fantastic there. A little breeze. Can you see the ocean from where you are?
We were out on the boardwalk. Me and my buddy Andy are down here, and we were actually walking up on the boards a little bit ago before coming back here to our broadcast setup. So we're actually not on the boardwalk. We're right at the entrance of the Edis Arena. So we're right by all of the cool, like, chromed-out guitars and the cymbals and stuff hanging up on the wall.
Okay.
So once you come in the casino where the big Hard Rock Atlantic City guitar is outside, we're right in the doors there by the Elvis car and the Beatles stuff and right at the bottom of the big escalator here.
So people can actually come by and see you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, real quick, before we have you help us with the letter day of everything and everything else, thank you to Rob McElhenney for being on the show this morning. The organization Cora, which is very, very important to him, needs help financially. And you can go to coraservices.org. Even if it's like he said, look, if it's just if you can spare $2 even, whatever. Every little bit helps.
Yeah,
or if you can throw in more than that, clearly they would like to help or they would love to have your help. And, of course, this is to help the community overall with kids who have certain disabilities or issues or just need support. Yeah. It's what they do at Cora. So thanks to Rob for being on this morning. And Robbie from Celebration Fireworks.
Yeah. What a surprise.
We have the video of what we saw now on our Instagram account. If you would like to see that explosion that we were talking about, they set off a very short little fireworks display for us. And it was pretty awesome. We couldn't really hear it.
Yeah.
But it looked really cool. So thank you to Robbie. And they are Cellfire, CELFIRE.com. And they put on shows is what they do. So if you're in the market for that, you can contact those guys. All right, Brent, you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter E, as in everybody come see me down the shore today.
All right, we'll take caller number 6 at 215-263-WMMR. You should now have 4 letters. It's a short work week this week for us here on MMR. So if you know what that is, if that you know what the word is, then you need to be calling number 6 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will see if you end up winning the prize. So, broadcasting live, what do you have planned for today, Brent?
Oh, boy, jam-packed show. So today is actually the 15th anniversary of Live 8, which you mentioned earlier, so we're going to be doing a workforce block to highlight that. Of course, here in Philly and worldwide, we're going to do a workforce block of Rival Sons, also Guns N' Roses, and we're going to be talking to Jim Allen, who is the chairman of the Hard Rock International and chief executive officer of Seminole Gaming, the head muckety-muck of Hard Rock. He's going to be talking to us in a little bit.
All right, cool. You mentioned Live 8. You know, that was one of those first big concert events on the mall or on Benjamin Franklin Parkway. Not the mall. I was thinking D.C. for some reason. But I thought I heard this morning they officially canceled Made in America.
They did.
Yes.
So that's yet another event. And no surprise, but they have to make these official announcements for people who, as you can imagine. We're looking for caller number 6, and that caller is Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Great. How you guys?
Good. Paul, do you know the word of the week?
Dune. D-U-N-E.
Great. Day.
And that is it! Dune is correct, as in sand dunes, which, you know, Brenda's all around right now. And Paul, you got it right. We have a 2-night getaway at one of 3 gorgeous Icona Resorts properties in Avalon, Cape May, or Diamond Beach, valid through May 26th of 2021. So congratulations to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great holiday weekend.
You do the same. Hang on just a minute. We'll get your information. Don't forget you can experience peace at the shore, Icona Resorts, Avalon, Diamond Beach, and Cape May. Beachfront hotels are the perfect escape. Book today at Icona.com. That's Icona.com. And all I need to do now is thank our sponsors for the program today. The show has been brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and also HERS, the official snack food of summer. And our final sponsor, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram City. They are ready to kick off summer with big discounts, so make sure that you shop now. And like we said, Brent's coming up next, and we just want you to have a very cool, awesome, safe holiday weekend, friends, and a happy birthday to Casey.
Yay! Yay!
His birthday is on the 4th. And Jackie Bam Bam.
Yay!
And Bill Burns in our sales department.
Yay!
And Paula Decker. Paula Decker's tomorrow.
And Ashley Gallo, who did my eyebrows.
Yay!
On the 4th?
The 4th with Casey.
Wow. Aww. All right. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
So you have off tomorrow. Privilege.
Next message.
Hey, guys, I know it's early, but I just want to wish you all a nasty 4th of July.
Next message.
You stupid bastards with these goddamn fireworks. Every night out my windows, that's all I hear is this bam, 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 smash, smash, bam, bam. I'm sick and tired of this shit.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.